This is the Patriots Pregame Social, live from the Patriots Facebook page.
Brady takes the snap. Back to throw. Fires left. Caught. First down. Branch inside the 10. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
The Pregame Social is the world's biggest virtual tailgate featuring the fans of the three-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots.
Back-to-back world championships. 3 out of 4. Yes, it's a dynasty.
Paul Perillo and Andy Hard of Patriots Football Weekly are here to do the grilling as your hosts. This week, the Pats visit Ford Field in Detroit to take on the Lions.
Shotgun formation. Direct snap to Brady. Looking right, now looking left, now firing left with his caught. Branch, end zone, touchdown.
Now, Paul and Andy get you ready for the game. Live from the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium. Patriots Nation, welcome to the Patriots Pregame Social.
Episode number 3 of the Patriots Pregame Social, Andy. Here in the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios inside Gillette Stadium, Paul Perillo, Andy Hart with you. Should we do a little on the previous Patriots Pregame Social?
We talked about
Vito Stellino
and Andre Carter.
But you know what? Tonight,
and we were right.
Tonight, as we look at the Detroit Lions game, nationally televised CBS contest at 8 p.m. here Eastern Time in Detroit, Ford Field in Detroit. Andy and I will be talking about the Lions, obviously. But this is a little bit different for our pregame social. This is a pregame social in every sense of the word. This is an actual tailgate party going on, Andy.
Hell yeah. 60,000 people partying here at Gillette Stadium. Country music. Hooters girls just walking through the studio at various points.
Seriously.
Paul almost couldn't catch his breath because he saw so many Hooters girls.
Is that what it was? Is that what you were trying to get out before the show?
And no.
You couldn't help yourself?
But it is. It's a festive atmosphere. Uncle Cracker has finished up his set. Not sure who's on right now, but you may hear some music. You may hear the studio walls vibrating here in the bowels of Gillette Stadium.
Yes, bear with us tonight. It will be loud. It will be festive. There is a country music festival going on. And as Andy said, Uncle Cracker has just finished up his, what do you call it, set. Is that how they call it in the music biz?
And I like these tailgate parties because this tailgate party here at Gillette tonight is basically probably 30,000 women in Daisy Dukes, cowboy boots, straw, cowboy hats. They're a little moist because there's some humidity in the air.
Hurricane Irene, be damned. They're here and they're ready to be seen.
That's right. And that's how I like my women,
ready to be seen,
especially at tailgate parties. And by the way, if you're a woman at a tailgate party out there tonight who'd like to be seen, send your photos in via the Facebook page, email them in to webradiopatriots.com. We love male fans, of course. If you have photos of yourself at a big tailgate party,
you heard it, Andy loves males.
But we especially like ladies, if you're in a Brady jersey or if by chance you had a Taylor Price jersey made for yourself or a James Sanders jersey. We want photos. We want to put them on the Facebook page. We want to see where people are partying around the globe. And tonight, at least in the continental United States of our listeners, you can watch the game. You don't have to do any backdoor channels.
We don't have to worry about anything illegal tonight for those of you
that
have access to CBS. It'll be
HD.
The game tonight on CBS with, I believe, Jim Nance, too, right?
Sure.
I know Phil Simms is there, right?
Sure.
It's their lead broadcast team, I would assume, but perhaps it's Greg Gumbel. Because maybe Jim Nance is otherwise occupied with golf or something. I don't know. Tennis?
Greg Gumbel and Dan Dierdorf.
Oh, it is Greg Gumbel.
With Leslie Visser on the sideline.
Okay, so that's a little bit disappointing because I always like to hear what Phil Simms
has to
say.
Actually, Simms was on last night. I watched him, or 2 nights ago.
With the Colts game, but it wasn't a national televised game, I don't think. I think he did the Colts-Packers. Was that on national television?
Oh, I don't know. We probably shouldn't babble this early in the show.
Yeah, it's a little even for us.
Colts-Packers was on national TV last night.
What channel was that on?
I think it was on CBS.
Yeah, it was. That's what I watched. Why would they break up their number one tandem?
Well, I assume they didn't. I assume Nance is doing something
Nance
else.
Oh, Nance is doing something else.
Like tennis, like U.S. Open tennis or something of the sort.
I think
golf.
He's doing the Barclays in New Jersey.
The Barclays, okay. So, anyway, a lot of interesting things to talk about heading into this Lions game tonight. A lot of guys came back to practice this week that have been missing for quite some time. Some of those guys I expect to see tonight. Others we probably won't. We'll start off with some news right away. It appears as if Albert Haynesworth and Sean Ellis will be among those who will not play. There's even one report from the Boston Globe, Greg Bedard, good friend of ours. Good friend of the show, Andy.
He is a good friend,
friend of the
show.
Pregame social.
He's a tent friend.
He reported that Haynesworth did not even make the trip.
Oh.
Not sure if that's accurate or not, but I'll credit Greg Bedard with that.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So don't expect to see Haynesworth tonight, and several reports are also saying not to expect to see Sean Ellis, who just came off PUP 1 week ago today.
But courtesy of our sources on the ground in Detroit, Matt Light will play.
Okay.
Our reporters on the ground have informed us Matt Light will play, make his preseason debut. Obviously, he's recovering from off-season shoulder surgery and re-signed, started camp on PUP, but has been practicing, started first in individual drills, worked into team drills, and now apparently tonight we'll get a matchup with some of the Detroit Lions. Ndamukong Suh will be on the field. Vanden Bosch will not be, and I think that's the guy who Light would probably normally match up with.
Yes, he would be.
But it looks like Matt Light will make his preseason debut tonight in front of Tom Brady, and against that, hungry, what do they call it, the Blue Curtain? Isn't that what they decided they want to call
it? I know
themselves?
They had all kinds of different names that they had given
themselves.
They're all
hurt,
but I don't think they're even playing. Like, Fairley's hurt, too,
Fairley's not playing. Vanden Bosch is not playing. Suh, which to me is the most exciting defensive lineman in football, and maybe the most exciting defensive lineman in the last 10 years in the NFL.
Ever.
Maybe not if you're, you know, putting your franchise quarterback out there in the third preseason game, but he is a fun player to watch, and certainly his matchup with Logan Mankins is one of those true, if there are ever interior line battles that you want to watch, I'm not sure those come along too often, this is one of them. Suh versus Mankins, a guy who will rip your head off versus a guy who will punch you in the nuts.
So we're going to go inside the press box a little later on the show. We'll get anything else we can find out from Ford Field, like the Matt Light nugget that was passed along to Andy before the show began. We'll also take your emails at webradio@patriots.com. Again, webradio@patriots.com. And, of course, you guys all know the hotline by now, the Ace Ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398 here, the Ace Ticket hotline, probably the quickest way to get through and get your voices heard here on the Patriots pregame social. But like Andy said, we want to know how you're watching the game. We want to know where you're watching. We want to know what you're doing.
Are your windows taped?
And
do you have plywood over the door?
And get some photos. I want to see the photos of your tailgate party. I want to see how you're watching the game. Matt and Kevin will get those up on Facebook as soon as we can. So there's a lot going on tonight. Again, bear with us. There'll be a little bit of noise and activity around the Subway Fresh broadcast studios tonight.
It's more like the Subway Fresh broadcast hurricane bunker.
Yes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? With the occasional hooter.
Yes.
Or two.
Yes, that's good.
Right.
They generally come in pairs.
And like Andy said, there is a possibility that we could be joined in a little while by some hooters.
And if you thought I was inappropriate on PFW in Progress, wait till some Hooters girls come in orange pants.
I mean, these are women that are paid to be inappropriate to us.
Right. Flirtatious. They're paid to be flirtatious with jerks like me.
Yeah. Well, what else are we expecting tonight for this Lions game?
You know, I'm glad you asked, because it's very important to me.
What's important to you?
James Sanders will take the field. We will see the steadying force in the back end of the defense. That is number 36 here in New England. You know, I think it's a great day for New England fans. It's a great day for football when Jimmy gets back on the football field. He tweeted out earlier how excited he was to play tonight.
True professional.
True professional. And that's one of the things. And I think one of the other things is everybody was talking about last week, over the last week or so, the Ocho Cinco, you know, is he not on the same page with Brady? Was Brady mad at him? Was Belichick mad at him? Did Belichick yell at him? What was going on the sideline? So, you know, if we're going to go down that sort of soap opera storyline, well, we'll watch another week of Chad Ocho Cinco and Tom Brady on the field together, probably for two quarters and change in Detroit against a good up-and-coming young team, and see if they can get on the same page, see if they can make some plays. And I think this is interesting. I think the Lions, you know, we talked a little bit about it last week, Tampa being a young team, maybe they would try to use this as a measuring stick. I hope they didn't, because
they didn't measure up.
They
didn't show up.
For those of us that believe they're going to take a step back this year, I think we saw it last week. They weren't quite ready to play with the big boys. This week, the Lions, a team that showed they were ready last year on Thanksgiving for approximately
three quarters,
and then the bottom fell out of the basket for them, and they ended up getting blown out, essentially. But they were in there. They were beating the SNOT out of your New England Patriots for a period last year. They may use this as a measuring stick a little bit. Guys like Suh, Matthew Stafford against this new-look Patriots defense, you might get some of that young, up-and-coming fire of a team saying, okay, we're ready. We got to be ready when the regular season hits. There's no gimmies for us. Maybe they use tonight to prove it.
And Andy, you touched upon the very impressive performance the Patriots had last week in Tampa against the Bucs. Really dominant on both sides of the ball throughout the first half, especially in that first quarter. It was just a blitz. It was three and out, touchdown. Three and out, touchdown. Three and out. It was just like men against boys.
They literally caught the Bucks off guard on both sides of the ball.
Right.
Josh Freeman could not get his bearings with the rush that was coming at him, and Gerald McCoy flat out admitted
the tempo.
They weren't ready for the tempo of the New England Patriots. What was it, Mr. Brady, please let us just get in our stance. Please, Mr. Brady. I mean, that's what it was like. Little kids saying, Mr. Brady, we'd like to play with you, but we're not quite ready.
So we saw that kind of dominance last week. I would expect that that would manifest itself in the confidence level of the Patriots fans. And we know we always, every week, we like to check in with the fan tab quotient to find out just exactly, take a temperature, so to speak, of how the Patriots fans are reacting. I would expect the confidence level to be a little bit higher. I want to say it was 87 heading into last week.
I believe it was.
You know, so we always look to fan tab. Andy, I'm not sure if you have that,
I always
that ready to track
ready,
the fan confidence, but I'm going to guess that fan confidence level is going to hit at least 90 this week.
It could. It isn't right now. It's at 89.
I can't believe it. What is wrong with you people?
89.
Should I tone it down? This is the pregame social. I know it's supposed to be a little bit kind.
Don't be mean to people.
It's kindler and gentler.
That's how
right?
socials fights start.
Okay, I'm going to try to be
You're
social.
You're at the tailgate, and some jerk like you shows up, starts yelling, and all of a sudden I got to start throwing punches.
What? You know what? That's a good point.
All I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him, pounding the shit out of him.
Okay, and he just swore. Listen, you probably should actually bleep out the swear and not right before the swear.
If we're at 89, and Andy, I'll let you read the comments in a second. I know we can get that up over 90 right now because, listen, this is a team last week that did everything you possibly could to another NFL team. It looked like it was homecoming day.
Up-and-coming NFL team, not even a dregs type team. This is a team that people think is a young, up-and-coming Bucks team.
Get on to fantab.com. Get on the Patriots page, sign up for an account. You can use your Facebook or Twitter accounts, either way. Get on there, talk some trash, express your confidence. Andy, what do we have so far?
Well, right now, as I said, we're at 89. No change in the last 24 hours. Holding flat at 89. And I urge you, go get your temperature taken by fantab.com and get it over 90. Paul wants to see it over 90.
I want it over 90. Is that too much to ask?
No.
Okay.
We have a couple comments from Kavreen Harris. I felt that the defense was lackluster due to the pass rush. After seeing 2 weeks in a row, I'm feeling better. Tonight will be a different test, though. Go Pats.
Go Pats! I like it.
I agree. The up-and-coming Lions team, a lot of people think this team could compete for a playoff spot. Certainly a winning record this year. And I think that's an interesting test in the Week 3 preseason, which you always call, Paul, the dress rehearsal. The closest thing to a regular season game is how you like to refer to Week 3 of the preseason.
Some do go along that road. I'm not alone in that. It's as close to a regular season atmosphere as you're going to get.
Now we have Daryl Boyer checking in. It's very good to see Fat Albert back on the practice field. I hope his legal woes have been good way for him to turn over that final leaf and rebuild his name. If he and Sean Ellis are active in Saturday's game, they are not, this is going to be a stellar defensive performance. I don't think you need them, we saw last week, to have a stellar defensive performance. I think you saw that this defense can be aggressive, attacking, athletic, playmaking. I mean, Gerard Mayo and Andre Carter, to me, showed you what you wanted to see. Guys moving forward on the snap and making life difficult on an offense.
Well, you know, you brought those guys up again, Andy, and it's funny. I actually think a little bit differently of both of them now than maybe I did 2 weeks ago with Ellis and Haynesworth specifically I'm talking about. I think what you see is what you're going to get. I don't think they're going to be huge parts of this defense. I think they're going to be they're going to be involved. They're going to have roles. They're going to have specific roles. I don't think they're going to be every down players. I think you're going to see Ellis, and you mentioned this, I think, on PFW in Progress. I think he's going to be more on the inside on sub packages. I think he's going to rush from the interior, which is something he's been very good at, something he was good at last year in the playoff game against the Patriots. And I think you're going to see Haynesworth more so on early downs, playing the run and doing those kinds of things, rushing the passer from his regular defensive tackle spot. As he said, the one time we got to speak with him, his role is to kill the quarterback, to kill the running back. I think he's going to be looking to get in the backfield and make plays. But I don't think he's going to do that on a three-down basis every game. I think, you know, if you get him 20, 30 snaps a game, I think that's a lot.
And that's all you care if he's maximizing
those Absolutely.
Snaps. If he's in the backfield 20 or 30 times a game, that is well worth whatever money you're going to pay him. If he is shooting gaps, as he said, kill the quarterback, kill the running back, whatever gap the ball's in is the gap I want to be in. If he's playing that type of defense, and we know he can, we've seen it at portions of his career, if he's doing that, then you don't need to get all three downs out of him. And in fact, they'll be better off if they can rotate these guys. I mean, right
there.
You
better chance
to
get 16 games out of them.
If you just have Ellis, Haynesworth, and Wilfork playing at a high level at defensive tackle, that's a good three-man rotation. Those are some three pretty proven players. And that doesn't even take into account Kyle Love and all these other guys.
And
that
if
they
you can get healthy,
Gerard Warren,
that's the guy. And if you could stay healthy, you have Gerard Warren to throw into that. Someone's probably going to go. And there's going to be a very good defensive lineman that doesn't make this football team because they're just too deep at that spot. And it's amazing how quickly it happened. It was almost overnight. But even, you know, we had a roster projection that you and I did, Andy, that we had 10 defensive linemen. And this counts what we sort of consider outside linebackers, guys like Jermaine Cunningham and, you know, Mark Anderson, you know, guys that they play defensive end in this system that Bill Belichick is using right now, but in the past probably wouldn't be. Someone's got to go. There's just not room for everybody. Gerard Warren, Albert Haynesworth, Sean Ellis, Vince Wilfork, Myron Pryor, Kyle Love, Mike Wright, Mark Anderson, Andre Carter, Jermaine Cunningham. Can they all make the team? That's 10 guys I just named.
We'll see. I think Anderson.
Really, Fred?
I think Anderson's a guy that's on the bubble. As much as we've seen him as a sub rusher,
there's two guys.
I've never been in love with him. And the whole one dimensional aspect to him, I don't think he's that good to be one dimensional.
I think that the.
Now, Mike Wright, if he's not around and maybe they need a guy, a sub rusher, Anderson to me is a guy that I would not be stunned in any way if he doesn't make it, even though they gave him a little bit of money, $300,000 bonus or whatever.
I think $375,000, yeah.
But he's a guy that I definitely would not be surprised to see on the chopping block.
Yeah, and I'm gonna surprise you with another guy that I wouldn't be surprised to see on the chopping block is Gerard Warren. Because if the other guys are healthy, I'm just not sure there's enough room for all of those guys. I don't think you want to get rid of the young guys. You know, I don't think you want to get rid of all the young guys inside. So, again, if they keep 10, there's room for all 10 of those guys I just mentioned. But if you need a roster spot somewhere, that's where the fun and games is going to start coming in because, I think personally you might be able to get away with two tight ends on the roster to start the season because I'm not sure that Lee Smith or Will Yateman is good enough right now to be on this team full-time. I think you probably have a pretty good chance of getting those guys through waivers onto your practice squad. If you don't, maybe you can work out a deal with one of them if you're not comfortable. But the roster crunch is going to be a little bit different, I think, this year than it has been in most years. And one thing that, and you brought this up in a blog post last week that we keep talking about, but I wouldn't be surprised to see a trade, and you have the defensive backfield in mind there with Butler and Wilhite. I'd be interested to see what you guys have to say about that. Let's get some emails in here at webradio@patriots.com. Let's get the phone lines going on the Patriots pregame social. But I do think, Andy, that the cutdowns are going to be a little bit. I know they're always intriguing. They're always you never know exactly what Bill's going to do. But I think there are going to be some good football players that aren't going to have room this year.
Well, I think they will pursue the trade avenue. And
absolutely.
Nick Caserios talked about it this week that after this game is where some of those discussions may take place as people start to figure out what their roster is going to look like, who they may be looking to unload. I wouldn't be surprised if they visit that with a defensive lineman. I wouldn't be surprised if they visited that with a cornerback. I wouldn't be surprised if they visited that with a low-level offensive lineman or a wide receiver. You know, if Brandon Tate is on the chopping block, somebody might say, well, that guy had two kickoff returns for a touchdown last year. He's got the speed. He's got some potential. We'll give you a seventh, sixth-round pick for him. And all of a sudden, they can kind of reacquire some of those picks they've lost in these trades. And we know Bill likes to have all those picks. He doesn't want to be five, six, seven rounds going by, and he doesn't have any selections. So I definitely think you'll hear of Nick Caserio at least working the waiver wire, the trade wire this week. I did want to let you know, though, Paul, you might want to say that you want to see a pepperoni pizza on the table in front of you before this show ends because you asked to get fan tab over 90. And you got what you wanted. It's at 90 right now. It's gone up 2 points, 2% in the last however long.
That's excellent.
We added them some new members, and they all voted in the 90-plus range and got it over 90. The power of the PPGS.
Well, we also, speaking of the PPGS, and we always you know you want to put that hashtag with any tweets that you send out. Put the hashtag PPGS on there for Patriots Pregame Social. Just kind of perusing the Twitter feed. Tom Curran, our good friend from CSNNE, is reporting that Brandon Tate looks to be ready to go. He just left the field and looks ready. So maybe we'll see a preseason debut for Brandon Tate tonight as well. We better for Brandon Tate's sake because times are wasting. and he ain't got much left.
I already got him on the chopping block.
I know you do. I know you do.
Now, he could open some eyes. Maybe he could come out there tonight, and all of a sudden, wow, he's got 100 yards and two long touchdowns, and I'll say, huh, maybe we have to rethink that a little bit. More than likely, though, Taylor Price will show you once again why he has surpassed Mr. Tate on the depth chart, and will show you how he can be a contributing receiver with the first offense. I want to see good reps tonight from Tom Brady and Taylor Price.
You know, it's funny, we were talking about no excuses tonight. You can watch the game pretty much wherever you are. It's on CBS. Well, Bill in San Diego, not so much. I guess the Chargers are on tonight.
Oh.
So
what the hell does national mean?
I guess...
I'm sorry. I thought national meant throughout the nation. Has the word nation in it.
My guess is
nation
that the local affiliate that pays for the rights to broadcast the Chargers games probably gets some sort of exclusivity, but that's a tough break right there. So, Bill in San Diego,
check
we feel
the internet. I'm sure there's a way to find
we
it.
We feel your pain, but I'm sure there's a way to get around
or
that.
Or go to a bar. You're in San Diego.
Absolutely.
You don't even need girls in orange pants to see Hooters. There's Hooters left and right out there where you live.
Let's see here. Mike in Pensacola chiming in. He wants to know if we've heard anything throughout the week in the status of Lee Bodden, and do you think we'll see him play tonight with the first team? Bodden hasn't practiced all week, correct?
No.
I don't believe he's there. I don't believe he's going to play at all tonight.
That's worrisome.
A mildly intriguing injury that, you know, not unlike a lot of injuries around here, just completely being swept under the rug.
Right.
You know, and we know nothing about it.
You know, everything you talk about is, well, now that they got Bodden back to play opposite McCourty, you got, you know, you and I both tweeted the other night their ridiculousness of Vontae Davis. Nope. What's his brother's name? Davis.
Vernon.
Vontae. So Vontae's the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, Vontae Davis tweeting that he, you know, they were the best cornerback duo, him and Smith, down in Miami, and I tweeted that they were third, and a little while later, Paul said, or third, said that, you dumb dago.
Ian and I were so mad at that comment that we both tweeted the same thing.
But, you know, we certainly fall behind them, I would say, if it's just McCourty and somebody else. It's the fact that Bodden is returning to be that sure, veteran, proven, experienced guy. And all these guys on the depth chart, if they have to bump up a role, I like the secondary and the coverage a lot less.
By the way, did you see your boy Quinney had a sack and a forced fumble last night?
I just know talent, Paul. That's all I can tell you.
Is that what you know?
I just know talent.
All right. Well, let's get to the Ace Ticket Studio hotline.
It's hot
here.
As hell in here, and the Hooters girls aren't even in here yet.
Yeah, well, John in L.A. is here, though, so let's see what he has to say.
Hey, Johnny!
Hey, I'm really excited about the fact that I'm not going to have the game on TV.
You don't have it on TV either?
I don't know. In L.A., they always do the same, the Charger games and whatever. But I did get that NFL.com thing, but I'm not sure if, because it's a national game, they'll black it out on the NFL.com feed.
What does national mean?
I know. It's ridiculous.
Has the word nation in it.
So I think it's interesting, having just listened to Brady when they ask him about Ocho Cinco throughout the preseason and throughout the early offseason, he's really tempered his remarks. It's not, and I don't think it's just because Ocho Cinco's been only so-so as opposed to Randy Moss. I feel like it's deliberate to make sure that you continue to put Ocho Cinco in the box of he's just one of the guys. He's picking it up. He's doing his best. It's much different from the Moss thing.
Well, they have different personalities. I mean, Ocho is an outgoing, the extrovert,
carefree,
involved with all kinds of stuff. Moss was not that.
Private. I think he had that with his teammates behind closed doors, but he was very much
so that's part of it. But I mean, it hasn't all been reserved comments. You know, he called him a prolific receiver, and he raved about how excited he was to play with him.
Yeah, I'm with Andy on that one.
Okay, well, good. I mean, I was hoping that I was just sort of rationalizing why he wasn't being so effusive with his praise.
Well, and let him make some plays. You know, I don't think he wants to put extra pressure on him. And that's maybe he has seen him struggle a little bit, seen the drops a little bit, seen the slow to pick up the offense, and says, if I put too much pressure and praise him too much, people are going to expect that. So I have had no problems, nothing. I've had no little antennas perk up when Brady has said anything. I think he and Ocho are just fine.
Right. So you're not worried about Ocho and just the fact he's taking a little while, but he'll get it?
Yep. I am not worried about Ocho at all.
I'm a little worried.
Well, it depends what your expectations are. What are your expectations?
To him to be a contributing part of the offense.
Oh, then I'm not worried at all.
I'm a little worried.
If you want 110 catches and 14 touchdowns, I'd be worried.
Let's not. John, thanks for the call. Let's not be silly.
But if you're looking for 70 catches-ish and 8 touchdowns, I'm good to go.
Oh, yeah, I'm not.
I've seen everything I'm confident in.
I'm not confident of that at all.
Well, you're very negative.
Why? What is negative about that?
We just got a phone call from Don in L.A., actually, and wanted to talk to John in L.A. and said that the game's going to be on Channel 9.
What are we, a dating service?
No, I'm just saying that just to give out the information.
We'll pass it along. John, Don says the game's on Channel 9.
That's the CBS affiliate that's in L.A. So
it's actually bra.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, bra.
He's trying to help a brother out, all right?
All right.
So we couldn't connect them on the air? That would have been cute. Maybe they could have watched the game together. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring
Kevin's
Patriots fans together.
Kevin's head may have exploded if we had to do that.
Matching man and man together. And
hey, this is Massachusetts. Woman, woman, man, woman, whatever you want.
We take all comers here.
That's right, all comers.
Okay, now. Let's
go, host.
Let's get back
Keep this ship rolling.
Let's get back to the emails here. Let's see. I hadn't seen this, and this is why I wanted to bring this up. Brandon says that Warren Sapp has labeled the Patriots defense as the fourth best in the league.
Hmm.
Here's his list of the top five. 1, Jets. 2,
Jets.
Steelers. 3,
Ravens.
Bears. 5, Ravens.
Ravens didn't look too good last night when I was watching them, or two nights ago.
They didn't look great in that game defensively. They looked really good offensively, I thought, but they didn't look good defensively, although one was a pick six, one touchdown they allowed. D'Angelo Hall got Joe Flacco. But what do you think? Are the Patriots worthy already of being
Could they be? Yes, I think they could be a top five defense.
That upper echelon? But I'm not sure Chicago's that good.
They certainly have flashed the ability and the potential to be a top five defense, and I think when you factor in Haynesworth and Ellis haven't played, if everybody's healthy and if everybody's on the field, I think they have that kind of potential. I don't think they've proven it by any means, so I don't think they deserve to be up there, because I think some of those other teams have proven it. They've done it a couple of years in a row, and you have some faith in the system and the coordinator and all that. But I am intrigued by this defense. I am very much intrigued by it.
I'm incredibly intrigued. I think that the style, to me, I think is going to cause problems, because not necessarily that they're doing anything that's special, but they're doing something so dramatically different than what they have done. I think the preparation is going to be so different for all of these teams to go against the Patriots this season if they're going to do stuff like this. Now, I know that they probably will change a little bit from time to time and mix and match and do different stuff, but I think the Patriots are going to give some teams an awful lot to think about during the course of this season that they haven't really had to. I want to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline, Andy, and hit Salt in Orlando. Good buddy Salt. How are you, Salt?
What's going on, guys?
Where's Peppa?
She's doing her thing. I don't know.
Okay, so you're not watching the game.
I wanted to, but
don't tell me it's not on in Florida either.
It's not.
What the hell does national mean anymore?
No, it's on in Florida.
It's not.
It's got to be.
For my cable provider, at least.
Come on.
So,
wow, why are these games not on? They have to be on.
I remember on PFW, you guys were talking about preseason commentators and how they're mostly national.
Yep.
But for the Jags, I got the Jags game, and they were Jags. And I learned more about the Jags than I ever wanted to. I didn't hear anything about the Patriots except for Ryan Mallett. So.
Well, that's fine.
That's what you should get.
You should hear that in the preseason.
Unfortunately, well,
New England fans should hear all about
just get
Patriots 59th
stuff.
Player on the roster and the 73rd player on the roster. Trouble is, you have Don Crickey and Randy Cross show up, and they don't know those guys. And it's not their fault. They don't spend enough time around the team. But I think it should be that way. I think when the third unit is in, you should have some guys around that can actually talk about the third unit.
Yeah. But I was wanted to talk about Brandon Spikes. What do you guys think about him being on the team this year?
Oh, I think he'll be on the team, but I think he is dangerously close to wearing out his welcome here. He
That's
was a guy, I mean, if you remember how we talked about him before he even got here, pre-draft, combine, he was the Tim Tebow of the Florida defense, just a natural leader, everybody followed him, just had the knack to make plays. That is not how his pro career has started over the last 12 months, between off-field issues, suspensions,
juicing,
everything, just everything. And I don't know. He almost seems like snake bitten. Like it's just he can't live up to that reputation of being the perfect professional and the guy ready to contribute. And that doesn't even take into account, you know, errors on the field last year where he got beat in coverage against the Jets and wasn't ready. You know, I think there's a lot going on there, and this injury is not helping him.
Well, you know, you guys are the social pregame show or whatever. I don't know the exact title.
But Patriots Twitter, pregame social. It's a PPGS.
There you go. There you go. But on Twitter, Brandon Spikes changed his picture, and then he tweeted, and it might be coincidence, but if you're waiting around to know where you stand, maybe it's time to start walking.
Wow.
Yeah, he's been giving, and thanks for the call, Salt.
And he probably ended
Spikes,
that with a SMH, pow, pow, damn.
Brandon Jeez. Spikes, the situation has also gotten very interesting. That's something I want to get into a little bit more, but a lot of cryptic Twitter messages he's been sending out lately. Do they mean anything? I don't know.
No.
But he hasn't been on the field very much, if at all, so far this summer. I think he's a guy that we need to take a little bit further look into, and we will when we get back.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, fact. McDonald's Chicken McNuggets are great, but the sauce is like the razzle to the McNugget dazzle, the hip to the hop, the flip to the flop, and now there's new sauces, so zing is zestier, lips smackier, sweet, spicier, mouths waterier, and slams even dunkier.
Crispy, juicy, made with white meat chicken, and now four new sauces. Spicy buffalo, creamy ranch, honey mustard, and sweet chili. It's the biggest thing to happen to Chicken McNuggets since Chicken McNuggets happened. The simple joy of making ooze eyer. At participating McDonald's.
What are you drinking?
I'm a college student, and I pretty much survive on Dunkin' iced coffee. During finals, it's the one thing that gets me through. When I'm cramming hundreds of pages of history all into one night, Dunkin' iced coffee keeps me going. So I can remember everything the next day when I take the exam. Then 5 minutes later, I forget it all.
When you need a boost, pick up a delicious Dunkin' iced coffee. America runs on Dunkin' coffee. Hey, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' iced coffee. Hazelnut with a little milk. As a teacher, I never know when something might go wrong, but I know my coffee will always be right. Just perfect.
Miss Johnson, Joey won't share.
Gotta go.
Today's lesson, America's favorite iced coffee is made any way you love it. Hurry in and grab one today. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly brewed iced coffee. Always made exactly the way you want it. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Irene. 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 Irene.
That we actually had.
Should I not taunt hurricanes?
I wish that we actually had cameras in here right now to see the disgusted
Irene
shaking of the head that I'm giving you right now. What is wrong with you?
Should I not taunt hurricanes?
First of all, no, because I think you sort of playing with the gods there in a way that...
As The Rock would say, just bring it.
No, let's not.
I want to update from the stage, though, Paul. My boy Billy Currington is now playing here at Gillette Stadium. Crowd is rocking.
How nice for you.
You can't hear the wall shaking?
I wanted to talk a little bit before the break. We talked about Brandon Spikes a little bit. And I don't know how much of the Twitter stuff to take seriously.
You seem
to not really be taking any of this seriously. I think there's an issue.
I put him in the Bob Irsay?
Jim
Irsay category, where everybody ran with, oh my God, he tweeted about Brett Favre last week. He is a man that tweets 300 times a day.
See, I don't
pure
care.
Garbage. And Brandon Spikes, from what I've seen, does the same thing.
I don't care about the Twitter stuff specifically. What I do care about is his inability to be on the field.
Oh, and I just said I think he's worn out his welcome. I think he's done here.
Well,
I think he's never going to be.
But that's my point.
Nothing to do with Twitter.
No,
I don't buy any of these two more years to go, SMH, and all that.
Oh, I think he's unhappy.
Oh, I'm not so sure.
He's unhappy.
I just think they're realizing or going to realize he's just not who they thought they were.
Well,
getting.
I also, you know, I'm not going to beat up on the guy. He was a rookie. He did some nice things last year. I thought he had some moments. He wasn't a bust by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But I think he's being oversold. I don't think he was anywhere near as good as a lot of people are claiming he was. He was a solid rookie.
He was fine.
He was a solid rookie.
But that's all he was supposed to be.
He was supposed to be the Robin
for Batman. We had Batman in Mayo. He was going to be Robin. Now it's changed
like,
a little now.
You know, with him and Cunningham both, but Cunningham to a lesser extent, have sort of been given credit for having done more last year than they did. Because that's how I feel. And for some reason, I feel like Lee Bodden gets no credit at all for what he did 2 years ago. And I think he had, I'm not comparing them in terms of their level of play because one's a rookie, one was a veteran.
But I think that's part of it.
But Lee Bodden, it seems like no one has any use for.
But there's
Jermaine
no upside.
Cunningham and Brandon Spikes.
There's no upside.
But there was
Lee
upside
Bodden.
Over what you had last year for Lee Bodden.
Yeah, but there's no upside. You know what Lee Bodden is. You're not going to get Darrell Revis. You know what he is. He's a sure, steady, professional, middle-of-the-pack corner. And that's all he is.
Andy, I can't argue with that.
These young guys, people say, there's still a chance. He could be great. He can be this. He can be that. But I don't think either guy was overly impressive last year. I would say probably Spikes may have been a little bit better, but I don't think either guy was very good. The biggest thing I credit Jermaine Cunningham for is Bill Belichick was comfortable enough to put him out there 15 times and comfortable to put him out there a lot and say, this is my guy I'm going to battle with. And I don't think he would do that if he thought the guy wasn't ready, didn't know the defense. Now, whether he can be a playmaker, I don't think anybody knows that, but I think Bill was confident that when I tell him to do something, he'll do it. He's not going to embarrass my defense. And I think that's the best thing you can say about Cunningham last year beyond his one play against Peyton Manning.
Right.
Which helped Jimmy get a game-changing interception.
Yeah, and listen, I don't want to take this the other way. I'm not beating up on two rookies. I thought they both played. They both played a lot. They were a big part of the defense. I just think they were okay. They didn't do anything to me super special. And sure, if they improve and they make a jump up, you might have something. But I think that people are acting like they made the jump up.
Well, but part of the issue,
I'm not necessarily sure they did.
The water is muddy because neither guy is playing the position they played last year.
Oh,
if they get healthy.
For this season,
if they get healthy. So you have Spikes, theoretically, being your middle linebacker, calling the defenses and playing, you know, in the middle and having to run a little bit more and be a little more athletic. And maybe that plays into his instincts and he can take advantage of some opportunities. And you have Cunningham being a true defensive end on the strong side there.
So you don't think there's anything to any level of discontent for Spikes? You're completely dismissing all of it. And I'm not saying that the Twitter thing is huge, but, you know, changing the pitcher to Florida gear and it's all just games.
Yeah.
All fun and games.
Yeah. I don't put a lot of stock in Twitter in general.
Well,
Certainly not with what I've seen from him.
The only stock I put is the ones that we get here for our, you know, hashtag PPGS.
Which is a perfect segue into one from our friend The Visitant. The Visitant wants to know, Paul, what team are you rooting for this year?
What does that mean?
I don't know. The guy wants to know what team you're rooting for this year.
You mean other than the Patriots?
I want to know if he thinks the Patriots are good enough.
Oh, well, it's kind of a trick question. I mean, I always root for the Patriots first and foremost. That's my team. But he's right, the Visitant, because I do tend to gravitate toward a team. I don't always know who it is. But
I can't tell you till December.
I'll give you one team that I tend to like all the time.
Pittsburgh.
No, I hate Pittsburgh. Baltimore.
Ugh.
I like Flacco.
And by now, the way, and now that, I was right on Torrey Smith.
And now that Ray
not
Lewis,
quite ready.
Now that I saw a couple of plays
drop
by him,
McKillicuddy.
The second preseason game, I saw some bad plays by him. That was kind of funny, by the way, Ray Lewis doing the play-by-play the other night down the stretch of the game. Did you see that?
Didn't see it.
Susie Colbert was doing a sideline interview with Ray Lewis, and they got the ball back, and Tyrod Taylor was going, and he goes, okay, we're down by three. Tyrod Taylor takes him out, and he's like, goes through, you know, and he was like a matrix. He didn't go quite as dramatic as he normally does, but he counted down the final 30 seconds or so. He wanted them to spike the ball. They didn't spike it. They threw a pass and ended up being a touchdown, which was kind of funny. But anyway, you got time for a game?
Sure.
Because Michael is sending in a game to the PPGS.
He actually previewed it and told me he'd be sending a game in via Twitter.
Well, that's how it works right there.
That's right. Now, it's like speech class in college. Tell them what you're going to say. Say it and tell them what you said.
And if you want to be a true journalist, put a blog post up tomorrow and say what you said today.
It's true.
You can take it full circle. He says he's looking forward to another week. My last two pregame social games were used for the show, so I figured I'd continue the trend and hopefully turn this into Mike in Rhode Island's weekly pregame game.
Well, if you're going to get your name in the headline, you're going to have to pay. We're actually taking sponsorship opportunities at this point. $100,000 per show.
Great cash, homie.
But we will read the game because we all know Paul and Andy love games. Over under, Andy. Tom Brady touchdowns, 2.5.
Tonight? Under. Well, if you mean all season, I'll take the over.
Pats forced turnovers, 2.
Over.
Shane Vereen receptions, 4.
Under.
Pats team fumbles, 1.
Under.
Lions cornerbacks made to look like a fool by Deion Branch or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, 1.
Under. Why did you pick those guys? Now, if you'd asked me,
Taylor
Price. Because
they both made defensive backs look foolish last Thanksgiving. You don't remember?
Yes, I do remember, but I wanted Taylor Price.
Well, I think that's what Mike was talking about. Albert Haynesworth, quarterback pressures and sacks.
Under.
Combined, 2.
Under.
We don't believe Haynesworth will be playing tonight. Lee Bodden tackles against his old team, 3.
Take the under.
Again, don't believe Lee Bodden will be playing tonight. Ryan Mallett interceptions, 1.
Wow, we're getting a negative spin here on this game.
Well, I'm going to take the under because I don't think you're going to see Ryan Mallett tonight.
I'll take the under, because even if you do, he shouldn't have time to throw 2.
Sacks by Ndamukong Suh, 1.5.
I'll take the under.
Unnecessary roughness penalties on Ndamukong Suh, 1.
Push!
Pre-game guests better than Vito Stellino for the rest of the season, 0.
Under. I'll take the under. Well, if the Hooters girls comes in and sit at my
This is quite a lengthy game. I'm going to try to get through this quick so I can get to some more of the emails. Pick 1. Who takes the field first on defense, Brandon Merriweather or?
Jimmy.
Who starts at left tackle, Soldier or Light?
Light.
Who will have a better game, Dowling or Butler?
Butler.
Who will have a better game, Price, Edelman, or Tate?
Price.
Who gets more playing time, Hoyer or Mallett?
Hoyer.
Yeah, I agree. Sean Ellis gets more snaps at defensive end or defensive tackle?
Neither.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. Each of you give me under-the-radar name to watch that will make his case for the 53-man roster today.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That?
I'll just continue reading here while you're thinking of that. Also, I haven't gone back to tally them up, but would you guys want me to track Paul and Andy's success in the game each week to see who is better at projecting? I can keep a weekly and season-running tally for the year and email you prior week's results with each game.
Sure.
Sure, have at it, although I didn't answer all of those.
And Paul said, I was going to say, and what the right answer.
I would say under for Brady, touchdowns.
No one cares.
Under,
we don't really need to rehash it. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, that was bad radio.
Relax. If you knew good radio, you'd be in real radio.
I was.
You know what's really bad radio?
What?
When the producer speaks.
Ooh.
Unless he's spoken to.
We got a
really
poll to read?
Radio. Yes, we do. Now it's time for you to speak.
We led off tonight with which player are you looking most forward to seeing make his preseason debut, Matt Light. Andy's boy, Jimmy Sanders. Did you read that tweet yet, by the way? I gave you that tweet from Jimmy. Did
I
you even
forgot.
Bring it down?
You didn't yeah, you read it.
Down.
Jimmy's tweet?
Yeah, I didn't read it. I paraphrased.
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
He was grinding.
So Matt Light, Jimmy Sanders, James Ahidobo, Brandon Tate, and kind of a shocker, Jimmy Sanders leading the way with 30%.
These are my people.
Tate right behind him at 29, Light 24, and Ahidobo 18.
Brandon Tate? Yeah. Really, right on his heels.
Right on his heels, 1% behind.
No one. People need to get over onto the Facebook page and vote for Jimmy Sanders. That should be a landslide.
Andy,
he just doesn't get the respect
Andy,
he deserves.
This isn't Chicago. We don't encourage people to vote early and often.
I do. That's how you win around here. That's how you win everywhere.
Dave in Palm Bay, Florida, just wants to thank us for doing this show and allowing us all to communicate together on Patriots pregame socials. So, Dave, thanks for letting us know that you like it. And
can
please,
somebody email
please
us
please participate.
If you're in the hurricane path right now, if you're dealing with any adverse weather due to
yeah,
Hurricane
like
Irene.
North Carolina or
Virginia.
You know, Virginia area down up in D.C.
Send a photo of the
Jersey Shore,
devastation
whatever.
Outside your window.
Because, that was part of what I wanted to see. I don't know why he takes it to such a dark
that's
and
so
dirty
bad.
Place.
Why?
Now, my friend. That's bad radio.
Yes.
He's wishing ill on other people.
No, I'm not saying.
By the way, you're little.
In an hour after your house blows down, take a picture. I'm saying, I'm assuming it already passed. Take a picture.
Well, I would think that this would be a night that would be sort of conducive if you're going to sit around and watch a preseason
right.
football game.
To listen to us.
If you're, this is
crack
the time.
A couple beers so you don't notice the wind quite so much.
No, I do know that there might be
right?
a little,
you
there
ease
might be
your nerves
some,
a little bit.
Cows flying around.
But there might be a little bit, some pressing things going on that would prevent you sort of from participating in our little
and
show.
And don't waste your time taping your windows. I saw it on the news today. That's a waste of time. It does nothing. Move on.
What does it do?
Crack a beer. No, it's like an old wives' tale or whatever. I mean, it's just people do it because they think it helps, but science hasn't proven that it actually does dang diddly
poo. I always thought it was just so they wouldn't shatter.
Yeah,
it
it's BS.
Good
but they do?
There.
Yeah. If they shatter, they shatter.
AJ on Facebook was saying.
I thought the tape would hold it together, not preventing it from crack.
Not according to the expert.
I'm not
I
talking
saw
about
today.
Preventing the crack.
Zero. He said zero does zero.
Just for the record, I've never taped a window in my life.
But if
so put the tape away, grab a beer, and listen to us send an email.
But for those poor folks that don't have power, they can't listen to us.
Hey, escuchando el Patriots pregame social. Somebody in Spanish, and I just read it in perfect Spanish.
Is that
that was pretty bad.
Is that the guy from Ecuador?
Pollo Anonimo.
Yeah, Juan from Ecuador.
Pollo Anonimo.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's offensive, so please do not.
Well, Juan from Ecuador is chiming in, from Ecuador, after all. He will not
that's
be able
near
to,
the equator.
He will not be able to hear us, and he can't see the game tonight. So I will read your post-game
so
comments.
So it's definitely
and
not an
tomorrow.
International telecast.
Wow.
It's not national, so apparently it's just a local telecast, except Dan Dierdorf will be doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know anything about the iPhone app losing its sound? Because we did get an email about that as well.
I have no idea.
But everybody else seems to be chiming in. Gene in Daytona. Remember Mean Gene Okerlund?
Send a photo.
Do you think we will see a good dose of
Stephen Ridley?
Taylor Price tonight.
Of course.
Stephen Ridley, I don't think you'll see at all tonight.
I don't either, but I thought he's a popular guy these preseason.
Do you think Hernandez will be added to the receiver corps, making room for Will Yeatman?
I don't get the question.
No. He's a tight end, and yes, he has some qualities where you can split him out from the line and use him as a receiver, Hernandez. But no, he's a tight end. He's one of the two tight ends.
On your roster, he counts
on your
as a
roster.
Tight end. He's
yeah.
essentially a slot receiver for the right. bulk of his duties. And yes, that question earlier, Will Yeatman, I say, catches a ball and runs somebody over. It won't be like a 20-yard play, but one of those
It'll
plays
of
where
four.
You go, yes, but you go, that's a football player right there. And maybe he'll open up some space for Brandon Tate to run on a kickoff return because he's the middle man on the non-wedge.
On the non-wedge. Good point. I read somewhere that the Lions are going to launch the kickoffs high, trying to land them on the sideline to trap the returner deep, making for a long field to score. That'll
be
interesting.
Try anything they want.
I am surprised that we haven't seen constant that in the preseason. Because I would think if I were a coach, I would have spent the whole summer trying to see – let's see if I can perfect this. Can I get my kicker to do this enough times, well enough, that I can cover and get them trapped inside the 15-yard line? Do you understand? Do you
yes.
know what my point is?
Yeah, based upon the fact that Gostkowski said he has no desire to do it, and you don't really want to be tweaking your kicking motion and trying to change things.
I mean, I would want to see if I were a coach, yes, I can get the touchback, but can I get better than a touchback? And if I'm comfortable enough that in the summer with that, that I can say, I know if I cover this, my kicker is going to put it in a position where if I make a tackle, I'm going to get them inside the 15-yard line, say, I don't know, 85% of the time. I that's something you have to think of.
If you have a kicker with the mental capacity to do it, I think these kickers are sensitive.
That's a great point.
Query, I don't know what the word is, but curious. Curious, that was the word I think.
They're flakes. Just
yeah.
call it like
head
it is.
Head cases, yes.
They are.
And I think by doing that, you know, he starts missing field goals, he starts kicking it out of bounds. I think they're a tough group to work with. Now, maybe Gostkowski's different. Maybe he's more of an all well-rounded athlete. I don't know. But he didn't seem like he was too keen on trying to find a new way to kick it high and deep. And basically, you're asking a guy to aim a kickoff. You know, to where am I? I'm about a 9-iron out. You're telling him to drop it in right by the pin, and I don't know how many of these guys in the NFL are capable of doing that.
Rick in the Netherlands wants to know if we think, and he sent this question in last week, and he says that we didn't really get into it very much.
Well, then let's
do it.
With
Ryan Mallett. Do we think that Ryan Mallett has a future as a frontline starting quarterback?
I have no idea. That's my answer. I've seen flashes of yes and flashes of no.
He wanted to know if his game one performance had changed our opinions on that.
No. I think he will be a starting quarterback in the National Football League at some point. Whether he has a successful run as a starting quarterback in the NFL, I have no idea. But guys with his arm and his production in college, his abilities that he's shown on the football field, start NFL games. He will start somewhere. I would stake Paul's job on it. But whether he will start multiple seasons for the same team, I have no idea.
And I don't want to, tease Andy here with the semantics. There is a difference between he started NFL games as a quarterback and he's a starting NFL quarterback. And I'm not sure of the latter. It's just like his whole Tully Bantekain thing. There's a difference between a 10-sack guy and a guy who had 10 sacks.
Under Carter, by the way, I think he's a 10-sack guy.
Yeah, I think that there's no question in my mind Ryan Mallett will start for a team at some point in the NFL. Now, whether or not he is worthy of being such, I don't know yet. He is very inconsistent on the practice field still, so there's a lot of time, but I really like a lot of the physical stuff. He has a lot of things that you can't teach. Now,
good and bad, I think.
I agree. He's going to have to refine his game, and he's going to have to learn. And the way I look at it is, what better place to learn than with Tom Brady, showing you exactly how to do it.
I like the addition of George Godsey. He has basically been his personal coach, and I like that addition. You have a guy that can take the talent and try to really, because Bill O'Brien is technically the quarterback's coach, but he doesn't have time to run the whole offense and spend all this extra time working with a young player. Godsey does. And he's a guy who's played the position. He's coached with Bill O'Brien. I mean, he's played under Bill O'Brien. He's coached now for a long period of time, focusing on the quarterbacks. I think that's a great resource for Ryan Mallett to have.
Okay, it's time now to check in with our view from Ford Field and our out-of-town writer, Tim Twentyman from the Detroit News. Tim, are you with us?
Yes, how you doing, guys?
I'm doing great. Waiting for the Hurricane Irene to come and wreck the whole stadium here. But we're hunkering down. We're getting ready for tonight's game. And I want to know just how good this Detroit Lions team can be.
Well, I think it's cautious optimism is the word here in Detroit. You know, really the Detroit Lions go as Matthew Stafford goes. And as you guys know, he's been hurt the last couple of years. And really everything that they did these past couple of years was building around him and putting the pieces in place for him to succeed. And so, you know, really it's just about Matthew Stafford staying healthy. And if he does that, you know, he can make all the throws. He's shown when he's healthy just what he can do and lead this team to win. So, you know, if Matthew Stafford stays healthy and he gets a few breaks, you know, we're talking about a fringe playoff team and an 8-9 possibly 10-win team here with the Lions.
Tim, real quick, I'm Paul Perillo. This is Andy Hart with me here for the Patriots pregame social. We have sort of, the two of us have a little debate about Stafford. I really like him a lot. Andy is impressed with his physical skills, obviously, but he's not as high on him as I am. I feel, if healthy, he is perhaps the best young quarterback in the game. What exactly do they feel about Stafford in Detroit? How do you feel about him?
Well, I think when healthy, he can make all the throws. He can make throws I think only a few other quarterbacks in this league can make, one which you guys see, you know, quite often. But I think that he, when healthy, is a top 10 quarterback in this league. You know, you look what he did in Cleveland his rookie year, the five touchdown passes. Last year, all three games that he played, they were leading when he left the game with injury. You know, he's real smart. I mean, he left high school early to go to Georgia. He started as a freshman in the SEC. He left early, was the number one pick. You know, he's very mature for his age, and I think that shows on the football field in terms of picking up offenses and just running this team. The Lions are very confident in him, and I think with his physical abilities in terms of just being able to make every single throw, when healthy, you know, I think he's really a top 10 quarterback in this league.
We all know that the best friend of a quarterback can be a running back, and obviously you saw the unfortunate injury to LeSure. What's the story in the backfield there, and how's that depth chart going to play out? Are they going to have a consistent ground game week in and week out?
Well, they haven't shown it yet, and that's really been the concern so far in the preseason. You know, Mikel LeSure was a huge loss for them. He really was their top performer in camp the first couple weeks, just a guy that could do everything out of the backfield. You know, they still have Javid, and they think they have kind of a lightning-in-the-bottle type guy. Their own version of Chris Johnson maybe is how they like to explain it, you know, with the 4-3 speed and a guy who gets in the open field and he can be gone. So I think they're still looking for that power back, that guy that Jim Schwartz says, you know, we have a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter and we need the 2 first downs to win a game. Do we have that back? And I don't know if the Lions have that back on their roster right now without Mikel LeSure. You know, they got a few guys, a Mike Bell, a Jerome Harrison. They're still kind of seeing what they have with those guys. They're veterans who've done it before, but the Lions could be in a situation behind Javid Best where they might not have their backup running back on the roster yet.
You mentioned the comparisons to Chris Johnson. Are they going to give Best the opportunity to carry the ball that often and be the lead dog?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he was that last year. You know, the first 2 weeks he scored the team's first 5 touchdowns, had a terrific game against the Eagles, and then developed turf toe on both feet. And anybody who's ever had turf toe knows how painful that is. And he battled through it all year, but he just really wasn't the same. We saw flashes of it at the end after he had gotten some rest. And, you know, he's come into this year 100% healthy. The speed is back. The burst is back. And he's a guy who can catch the ball in the backfield. He had over 50 catches last year. So they can use him on first down, second down, and even a third down type guy. So I think they really view him as a complete back. But he's not that guy that's going to get you a third and one. And that's really, you know, the downside with him, and that's really what they're still looking for, is that power back, that guy that can get short yards, that guy that can crank out first downs in the fourth quarter.
We're talking to Tim Twentyman, the Detroit Lions beat writer from the Detroit News, here on the Ace Ticket Hotline, the Patriots pregame social. Tim, defensively, we know all about that front line, that front four when healthy, you know, with Sue and Vandenbosch and hopefully Nick Fairley. We know that they're capable of doing some special things, but the back end of that defense may be a little bit bigger of a question mark. Can that secondary hold up enough to get this Detroit Lions team sort of into the playoff mix?
Well, that's the magic question. That really was the concern for Jim Schwartz and everybody heading into this season, was that back seven. You know, they addressed some needs with linebackers and getting Justin Durant from Jacksonville, and then Stephen Tulloch, a guy from the Titans who knows this system, who knows Schwartz, and he's played well. And I think, you know, they shored up their linebacker spots, but you know, you mentioned the secondary. They like Chris Houston on the right side. He's a guy they re-signed. You know, they were eager to re-sign him. And they got a guy in Eric Wright, you know, a guy who's maybe got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, a guy who was supplanted as a starter in Cleveland. They like what they have in him already. And I think Louis Delmas is really one of the great young safeties in this league. And so they're just kind of trying to find a guy to pair with him. Signed to Eric Coleman, a veteran. They got another guy, a second-year guy out of Iowa. Amari Spivey, who they like, but I think there's still some question marks there with them. I mean, you guys remember that game against the Patriots last year.
Yep.
Tom Brady had a field day in the second half, and they really lost that game because of their secondary. So, you know, I think there's some question marks there. Colt McCoy had 3 touchdowns against them last week. So that's really an area they're still trying to shore up. And I don't know really if they know quite what they have yet, but they're hoping they have the right pieces together through free agency.
Before we let you go, my final question is about Jim Schwartz, and obviously he's a guy that Bill Belichick has a lot of respect for, or has called him one of the smartest people he's ever worked with, ever coached with. I'm wondering what his reputation is in Detroit now. He seems like he's done a great job of bringing some stability and personnel-wise turning that roster over. Do people in Detroit buy into Jim Schwartz, and are they buying what he's selling?
Oh, I think so. I mean, you just look what he inherited. You know, he came in after the 0-16 year, and it was a 70% roster turnover his very next year, and to have this team where nationally people are talking about them maybe as a dark horse and people are excited about them in just 3 seasons from where they were at 0-16, you know, I think people have certainly bought in here. You know, he's a detail guy. You know, he was under Belichick when Belichick was in Cleveland, so he's in that same, you know, coaching mindset of, you know, hiding the injuries, and he's really that type of guy. He really molds himself you know, after Bill Belichick.
So he's that fun to work with, huh? He's that fun to go to press conferences.
So you guys must love press conferences,
oh, yeah.
Huh?
We've got it. We have no idea who's hurt, who's not. You know, it's big and he's right in that mold.
He does have a Twitter, though. He does have a Twitter, right? Belichick
doesn't
have a Twitter feed.
You know, and I think he can relate to younger people, too. You know, he's a Kid Rock fan. He's out at the concerts. You know, you get him on the rock stations here, and he can go back to old rock and roll, 80s rock, and he loves it, and he can have a conversation with about that. So I think he relates to players. Well, players coach is the term a lot of people use, and I really think Jim is that. You know, he's a younger guy, but he can relate, but he's real detail-oriented, and he's certainly got the respect of that locker room, and that was really the first key.
Tim, real quick, we'll let you go. How much do you expect to see the Lions starters tonight?
Yeah, probably a half. You know, you guys know this is probably the dry run, the third preseason game. So probably a half, maybe a little bit less, but we should see Matthew into the second quarter, all the defensive guys, and probably right up until halftime.
Well, Tim, we appreciate you taking the time with us tonight, and enjoy the game at the beautiful Ford Field, one of our favorites.
Yeah, it should be fun. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, that's Tim Twentyman from the Detroit News, Lions beat writer, joining us on the Ace Ticket Hotline. And interesting to hear him talk about Schwartz there. You know, do you sub Bon Jovi for Kid Rock?
Oh, yeah,
and
clearly.
Just, you know,
although it sounds like he also has a little Bon Jovi thing. He said some of
the
80s
rockers. Yeah, you know, but it's funny how, you know, we see the guys that were directly under Belichick here in New England, the Manginis, the Cornells, the Weisses, but you don't necessarily think of that tree, you know, with Schwartz, and here's a guy who is emulating Bill, and at least initially here, having a little success with it.
Well,
I want to get out of control here, but
I got to go with living on.
I think that with Tim, the point that Tim made about what he inherited, you know, what one of the most difficult things to do, in my opinion, is you can get players and you can do things, but he's changing a culture,
right?
And I think he's done that already.
Yeah.
Even without getting to the playoffs,
to follow up Matt Millen.
Well, but that's very hard to get your fan base to put that in the rearview mirror and say it's not going to be like that anymore.
The key is to hit, and he's hit on the two big ones. Stafford, who was his offense. Okay, this is my guy.
Yep.
And defense, Sue lived up to the billing. Had they drafted Gerald McCoy, they'd be disappointed right now. Because they were, I mean, a lot of people thought those guys were relatively competitive. I personally didn't. I thought Sue was light years ahead of Gerald McCoy. And they got the right guy. And when you see your guy, I don't care about the penalties. When you see a guy, the physical tools that Sue has, and the same thing with Stafford, yeah, are they worried about the injuries, the fact that he's always hurt? But they'd be more worried if when he was on the field, he wasn't winning. When he's on the field, you say, that's why he's our quarterback. That's why we took him that high. Now we just got to make sure he stays on the field, because when he does, we're going to win some games.
And that was interesting, that fact that he brought up about there was three times that he got hurt last
right.
year. In all three games, he was leading when they got hurt, and I assume that they lost those games.
Oh, I should have asked
I know
him.
One of them was the Jets game that they lost, because obviously that impacted us here.
Should have asked him if he would have made the trade with you for Brady. Brady.
Well, that's kind of where I was going with that, but I wanted to get him to touch on some other stuff, too, before we got off. But that's 1 hour in the books.
That was way too simple. His phone didn't die. He didn't yell at us.
Yeah.
That was like a professional interview.
It's like the
that's
third.
No fun.
It took us three tries, but we actually did it right. We had an out-of-town guy who was, A, informative, B, played along, a little entertaining, and C,
and
we had no technical difficulties.
Made it through the whole interview without falling off.
So kudos to the Patriots pregame social.
Yeah, Kevin Collins, give yourself a round of applause.
All right, that's
you can
one,
have a beer later.
1 hour in the books. We got another hour to go here in the pregame social.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths were driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown! Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 8915 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
This is Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo, and you are listening to the Patriots Pregame Social on the Patriots Facebook page.
Back here with the Patriots Pregame Social inside our Subway Fresh broadcast studios in Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart and Paul Perillo for the second hour.
Was that from the stage? Is that what's playing out there right now?
That was Country Music Fest. I don't know if you had your headphones on, but that was Gerard Mayo welcoming us back inside the Pregame Social.
Oh, yeah. I did not, actually. No. Now, was that the guy that Jimmy wanted to hear? Jimmy tweeted earlier about a rapper. What's his name?
Oh, yeah. I'd never heard of that guy. It was some weird dude.
Somebody that Jimmy was trying to promote. See what a nice guy he is?
I looked at him on Twitter, and he only had like 1,500 followers, so I knew he wasn't all that big.
Whoa. You don't need to mock people that only have around 1,500 followers.
I only have like 1,000.
No, but like Jay-Z would have like 8 million, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've heard of Jay-Z. You can't jump right to the top of the mountain. There's other people halfway up the mountain.
So Jimmy's trying to promote a Jag rapper?
That's potentially. Maybe it's his buddy or something.
I wanted to thank Will in Virginia, by the way, because you asked for some Hurricane photos.
And we got it.
And he sent one in from Hurricane Irene, obviously, and we're putting that up on the Facebook page.
It would be cooler. Is it Jim?
Will.
Will. It'd be cooler, Will, if you were standing on that dock or whatever it is as the wave breaks over the top with a Patriots hat on. We need to try to get some product placement. We need Patriots logos and photos.
I'm going to butcher this name, but the Rappahannock River on the Chesapeake Bay. Irene blowing around 45 miles an hour, gusting.
Irene blowing.
Gusting to 75, attached photo. Waterfront parking lot in a dock that is normally 6 feet above water level. He does have a question, however.
Okay.
So we definitely want to,
like a hurricane in the back.
We want to relay his message since he was so kind to send his photo in. Do you guys think that the Pats would let Welker walk at the end of the year and put their confidence in a younger receiver such as Julian Edelman? Now, that's a little crystal ball type question for you, Andy.
Well, that's a great question because would they let him walk or would they try to trade him now? We've posed that thought and actually got chastised a little bit by Patriots fans for could Belichick consider, with the development of Taylor Price and some of the other weapons here, pulling a Richard Seymour as they head into a contract year with Wes Welker, say, I can't re-sign him. He's going to want X million. We're not going to value him that high rather than lose him. I doubt it would happen. I don't really see it happening. I think there's a better chance he just walks away. Because if somebody wants to pay him, they're not going to pay him. They're not going to give him $8 million a year or $9 million. Wasn't last offseason $9 million was the going rate? They were all at, you know, 3 for 27 or 4 for whatever.
And you've seen some, I mean, forget the Larry Fitzgerald, but you've seen some other receivers signing for, you know, significant dollars.
I don't think they're going to pay
him that money. And I'm not sure the franchise tag works.
What's the franchise tag after Fitzgerald?
Yeah, it's going to get up there. But I want to get back to.
So do you think they'll just let him walk? Because I find it hard to believe they're going to trade him.
I don't think they're going to trade him. I think they'll try to sign him, and I don't think that they will. And
but
I think
what if?
Will, I think someone will give him more money than he's worth.
Josh McDaniels talks the Rams into, this guy can be our offense. This guy can help us get where we want to go. This can be a proven weapon for Bradford as we look for a development.
And I think he's gone.
Me too. I don't think they'll pay him more than $4 or $5 million a year.
I don't think they'll pay him more than they think he's worth.
Right.
You know, and I don't think they'll make, like, I think that they paid Mankins more than they think he's worth. I'm not saying that he's more than, that he's not. I think that he is the best guard in football, and I think he's paid accordingly. But I think that the Patriots rose their number a little bit to meet Mankins' demands. I don't think they'll do that for Welker. Not because Welker's not valuable, not because he hasn't done everything in his power. I just think that they feel like his production will be diminishing. Now, listen, a lot can change in a season. He goes out and catches another 120 balls like he did a couple years ago and returns to that 12 or 13 yards a catch as opposed to 10. Maybe gets in the end zone 8 or 10 times. Well, maybe things change. Maybe look at it and say, that knee's better, and maybe I can get him. You know,
I don't think anything could change to push him up into $8 or $9 million value.
I would tend to agree with you.
And my guess is, since he probably feels like he's been underpaid for the last few years, he's
going
like to
it.
Make money.
I agree.
And it only takes one team to think he's worth the money. And I got to be honest with you, I think he's a very good player. So if there's an offense that really feels like they're a slot receiver away, a true weapon away, a true security blanket away, whatever you want to call it, somebody might overpay him, and maybe even short term.
And I think,
what if some team says, I'll give you 2 years, $18 or $20 million?
I think
I can't
Welker,
go long term, Wes. He might be gone.
I think Welker is exceptional at that. However, I think there are a lot of guys that are reasonable facsimiles.
Well, you might have one here in Julian Edelman.
Yeah, that's my point. And you mentioned Josh McDaniels. They might have one in Danny Amendola.
Right.
Now, I don't think he is as good as Wes Welker on his best day.
Well,
his average per catch is even smaller than Welker's.
But if you surrounded him with Randy Moss, he might be better.
That's my point. I think there are reasonable facsimiles. I don't think you give a guy like that $9 or $10 million if that's what he's looking for. But I do want to get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline because we have Skinny Knees in Washington, D.C., who's been holding on patiently. Skinny?
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
How are you?
How's Mrs. Knees?
I'm hanging in there. I went out, bought some soup, bought a flashlight, bought some beer, and plan to watch the Patriots through the hurricane as it comes through here. So.
Nice. Now, what if you lose power?
That would be problematic.
That would blow, right?
Yeah, and apparently, from what
you
I
just
hear,
never
Maryland,
stop.
This part of Maryland, just northwest of D.C., is infamous for losing power in the slightest of storms. So.
Oh, that'll blow.
We'll see, but
all right, enough.
Holding out hope.
Well, good luck with that. What kind of beer did you get?
I don't need any power for the beer, so I don't have something to keep me entertained. So.
Well, you got to make sure the beer stays cold, though. You got a little ice in case your fridge goes out?
I'll have to pull some out of the freezer. That's a good point. Andy. You're always thinking.
Prior planning prevents piss-poor performance. One of the things I remember from my high school football coach.
Did you get ice?
Well, you must have been a tough graduate like me. So.
Bose! Well, as luck
right.
would have it, I can tell you that I saw also another jumbo when I ran into Coach Casey, John Casey, right? I just call him Coach.
Correct.
Coach John Casey, head coach of the baseball team, assistant coach of the football team, out in the parking lot here tonight heading to the Kenny Chesney concert.
Oh, excellent. Was that your coach when you were there?
He was one of the coaches. He was the defensive line coach. He actually coached defensive end Shane Waldron, who went on to coach the tight ends here with the New England Patriots. What a small world.
Oh, you learn something every day. The jumbos go far. Jumbos
That's right.
Go far.
Jumbos.
I have a couple questions for you guys. Couple on the Patriots, quick questions. What do you guys see the role of Sean Ellis being this year? Do you think we're going to see much of him tonight? And do you think he's going to be one of the key cogs on the front seven D line? And also, what do you think about Dane Fletcher and whether he might end up being the starting inside linebacker over Spike when they're both healthy?
I'm going to answer your questions in reverse order, and yes, I think Dane Fletcher could be your starting linebacker. I have loved his development. I think he is so fun to watch. I don't know if he can stay healthy because he plays with a reckless abandon there in the middle where he just hits everything that moves, tries to blow it up, and I love it. But not too many guys can play that way for too long. You know, Ray Lewis is kind of the exception, not the rule, and I think he plays with some of that physical style. But I think if Spikes continues to kind of struggle to really lay claim to a presence on the defense, I think Fletcher's got a chance to start in there. As for Ellis, I think we talked a little bit about it earlier. I think Ellis is a guy that's going to be a interior guy here, D tackle, help you in the pass rush. I think I talked to him the other day, and he's very much on board with the aggressive style of play. He said that's how you have to play, and he thinks their scheme is going to be to come into every game to try to disrupt the offense. And I'm intrigued to see that. I really am.
Thanks for the call, Skinny. We appreciate it. I'm definitely on board with the Sean Ellis thing. I think he gives them some flexibility as to how they're going to go about it. And I love the quotes that he had in your story that will appear in the next issue about
1-800-494-PATS if you want to order
just,
Patriots Football
just
Weekly.
Just in talking about, I can do this, I can do that, and we can play a lot of different ways. But he was very specific in saying, you know, we like to attack. And that's how defensive players have to be. Dane Fletcher said it to you earlier in the preseason as well.
Do you think he can play the way we've seen him play? I mean, is that Fletcher, aggressive A to A? Fletcher, can he be a legitimate NFL middle linebacker?
I don't know if he can be a legitimate guy for 16 games.
I don't either.
I would have my questions.
I love the hell out of him, though.
Oh, I think he's a terrific player.
Is there a more likable guy?
First of all, he's a very nice guy, and we like that.
But play-wise, too, he's kind of the defensive Rob Gronkowski. Just happy to be here
He makes plays. He's around the ball. He's that typical. You know, what's funny is I was going to say he's that typical linebacker that you see all the time. But funny thing is he really wasn't.
Right.
He was a defensive lineman. So I think he's to be commended for the transition that he's made.
Was he misused?
It's been very, very impressive. Let's beat up the Montana State, right?
Montana State.
Let's
who's
beat
the
up
coach
the Montana
out there?
State
ridiculous!
Staff. All right, let's get to our tailgate of the week because that's our fan clubs are what drive the Patriots pregame social. And Fat Tony. Now, with a name like Fat Tony, you know you're adhering. You're definitely endearing yourself.
Hey, Fat Tony, talk to Fat Paulie.
Hey, guys.
Water Buffalo tailgate. I love it.
Water Buffalo tailgating club.
It's funny because he's fat.
Now, where are you located?
We are actually in Boston, Mass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're based in Boston, Mass, and we actually have a group down helping out a charity down at the concession stands at Gillette Stadium tonight.
Oh, rocking with Kenny.
Yeah, I had to call off the tailgate tonight because of the weather. Not that we're afraid of a little rain, but they did declare a state of emergency in Massachusetts yesterday.
There was this hurricane thing going on.
Yes. So we did that, but we still sent the group down there to help out a local charity. The Crafts have a great concessions program where they get a percentage. Charity gets a percentage of what the stand makes. So we have 15 people down there helping out. So it's a great program they run down there. And just as an aside, we miss Myra Kraft a lot.
Yes.
So
I believe all of Patriots Nation does.
Yes, I agree. So we tailgate down there. We have a unique concept going on. We just started to do pregame tailgates, believe it or not, because most of the tailgating we did came from when we went down to Gillette Stadium and worked the concession stands for different charities. And afterwards, we didn't want to sit in traffic. And 4 or 5 of us got together and started to tailgate down there. And we had a little extra money left over every quarter, and we started to donate that money to charity. So
nice.
The club has been growing a little bit every year for the last about 5 years.
Tony, whereabouts in Boston are you?
We're right. I'm actually sitting in South Boston at one of our biggest supporters, AK's Restaurant, to watch a football game tonight with my 2 grandsons. So we're right in South Boston.
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody's got to live somewhere, guys.
And how big's your group usually?
It's a very flexible group. We have about 25 club members that pay dues every year. And then we welcome anybody who wants to come into the tailgate. We are actually a lot of what happens at tailgates is we get donations from different business partners. We don't have to spend money on certain items like food items. We get a lot of different contributions from local companies to help us out with that. We can give more to different charities.
Do you have a specialty, Tony?
As far as I like sausage, peppers, and onions, and we have this thing where.
Why am I not surprised?
We, you know, there's a little bit of a
hot dogs and sausages.
Yeah, little bit of a different spin on things. We went to an event up at Gillette Stadium a few years ago, and we talked to some folks down in New Orleans, and we got some of their barbecue sauce. So now we have what we call smothered sausages, which is onions, peppers, smothered in barbecue sauce. And the sausages are made by the sausage guy up here from Fenway Park, Dave Littlefield. And they're barbecue and fennel sausages. They're really good. They're really, really good.
They sound good.
Good
yeah,
stuff.
They're great.
Good stuff, and obviously great stuff with the charity work and whatnot. Tony, I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And
you're welcome.
Hopefully the weather will be kind to us and spare us a little bit, and you guys can all enjoy the game.
Yeah, that would be great. Thanks for having me on. You got a great concept. I'm so technologically disadvantaged, but this is a great concept that we listen every week. We listen to the guys from Australia last week. It's a fun program.
Well, Fat Tony, that's another thing you have in common with Fat Paul, because I am as technologically non-advanced as you can get while trying to run a show.
Have your grandkids show you how to do it. They probably know.
I guess the guys produced it are pretty good then, huh?
Yes.
Well, that's debatable.
We're just the talent.
No, we do. We're having a lot of fun with it, and we appreciate you taking the time.
See you, Fatty.
All right, Paul, Andy, thanks, man.
Thank you. That's Fat Tony in South Boston.
Yeah.
That's a solid.
That was a good interview.
That's a solid one right
I'm
there.
Also intrigued by the smothered sausage.
Oh,
the idea
God,
of adding barbecue and other things to
yeah. If we can get him, maybe
to do an in-studio appearance.
How about the home opener, San Diego?
I'm open to it.
Get him to make us some food.
Yeah,
I'll probably have to leave.
That way, I won't have to send you and Matt to get me food after the show.
I got to give some props though to Matt for lining that one up for this week.
Too. Well done,
good
Matthew.
Good job, Matt, and good job you guys getting the photo up on Facebook, because we're getting some comments that it looks awesome. I had a little.
Sorry, we may have a.
I had a
fresh
little Fred Kirsch
broadcast
in
studios thanks to Subway, but we don't have a fresh host.
I had
a little stinky right now.
I had a little. No, that wasn't a.
You've had it coming out of both ends for the whole show.
Oh no, that was just one thing a long time ago. But that right there was a little Fred Kirsch like angina attack.
I like anginas.
Yeah. Seriously, I mean, what is wrong with you? Let's get back to the emails, because we have had a ton of emails coming in.
Well, then read some, Fred.
And I don't want to. Shortchange everybody. Jason's in Maine, loving the pregame social. I wanted to know if you thought we'll finally see Rob Gronkowski in some decent action this week.
That's what I want to know too.
You guys
just
have been talking about how he's having a blowout training camp, and I haven't seen him do anything yet except drop a pass last week.
Whoa.
Hoping to see the offense pick up right where they left off last week, and I'd love to see Gronk in the mix. All right, keep up the good work.
I agree. The same damn play I'm calling for every single week. Gronk down the seam.
Down the seam.
Gronk
the one that
down
can't
the seam.
Be stopped
Gronk
in practice.
Down the seam. Just send him down the seam.
It'd be interesting. A little later, we'll be bored to tears when we check in with the press box and Eric chimes in.
Can we ever check in with Fred?
Yeah, I thought I put in the request this week to have Fred do it, but I wonder if Eric flexed his puny little pipe cleaner muscles.
At least they could alternate, maybe, so we get personality once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I agree.
But in all seriousness, I really feel like Gronkowski gets screwed because he can block. He can catch the ball too. He's undersold as an athlete. He's a guy that can beat people athletically. He's just not fast. He doesn't have pure
speed.
Here's
the thing. I want to ask 10 Patriots fans, top of your head, who made more big plays last year at tight end? Gronk or Hernandez?
Crumpler.
And everybody, I guarantee you, at least 8 or 9 out of 10 will say Hernandez. Gronk averaged more per catch and scored more touchdowns.
And did even go back to Arizona where he played. Look at his yards per catch, and you say, oh, my God, every game he had a 40, 50-yard reception.
Extremely
this guy can
undersold
make plays.
As an athlete. I agree. Mark is next up. Mark, you know, Mark from Cheddar.
I love Cheddar.
Couple of questions here.
On top of a burger.
He says he loves the PPGS. It's a little like PFW in progress, but without the dead weight. And he says, Eric, not Fred. If there was Fred, that would be a lot of weight. Looking forward to the game tonight. He has a few questions.
PPGS.
He's looking for some insight. One, after today, will everyone be talking more about the offense or the defense?
Offense.
I think defense. I think it's all about this new style, and I think that is the flavor of the month until this summer.
Than it was last week.
But I still think people are going to be talking about what they did and the new people who were doing it.
I think you're going to be talking about Matthew Stafford beating the corner opposite Devin McCourty for a touchdown.
Wow. Who's Mr. Negative now?
You would trade Tom Brady for him, so I think he's got some skill.
Oh, stop it. You're embarrassing. Two. Will the talk about that side be positive or negative? Evidently, Andy's saying negative. No, you're going to say that there'll be positive talk about the offense.
Positive.
They'll sweep the bad talk about the defense.
I think
under
the offense is going to come out and put on a show. That's what I think. I also think I'm disappointed that we haven't seen any Hooters yet. Where are the Hooters girls? Just so anybody who wants to know, there are Patriots cheerleaders on television doing a pregame show, I believe.
The rest of the stuff is a little bit... rest of the stuff might be a little bit more for PFW in progress, so I'm going to leave that one.
Okay, yeah, we try to clean it up a little bit here on the PPGS.
Yeah, and Jenny is chiming in saying that the game... Oh, actually, it's George. I just pulled a Fred. I'm officially Fred.
How did George turn into Jenny?
Because the name of the email and the name of the person who sent it weren't exactly the same.
Jenny from the block?
George is in Winter Garden, Florida, and he says the game is on here in Central Florida. Channel 6 is the CBS affiliate. So,
Pepper.
Some of the guys that have been having a hard time finding the game. How many defensive linemen will they keep this year? Andy?
10.
I agree. How many wide receivers will they keep this year?
5.
6.
Well, wait.
Who will be the running
backs?
Slater? Yes.
Slater. Well, I don't include Slater as a wide receiver.
Okay,
he should
then
be
five.
With the specialist. They'll have 4 specialists.
I don't have time to argue with you. Then 5. Who will be the running backs?
Green Ellis, Woodhead, Ridley, and Morris.
No, I say Vereen. And how many nachos will Fred eat tonight at Ford Field?
A lot.
Many. Oh, boy.
Pounding through the emails here. Pounding through them. Send your photos, by the way.
Oh, you know what I want to
read? I have a new request. Can I have a request?
Go ahead.
I have a new request. I want to see some hurricane devastation in your area with a Pats logo in the photo. I've upped the ante a little bit. I want to see a Pats logo. So if your doghouse blew down, put your Pats hat on top of the doghouse or something. Or if there's flooding, float out a Pats football. I want to see a Pats logo in the next photo we get.
You know, Dan, our good friend from PFW in Progress.
He's in the Virginia area, right?
Right. Well, that's why he's chiming in. He says,
good.
I'm digging the pregame social. I'd like to watch the game tonight, but I would imagine CBS is going to cover the hurricane here instead of showing the game. And I would guess that would happen all up the East Coast as well.
Who knew national games can't be seen anywhere?
But that's different. This is different. If the game is preempted for news coverage, that I could see that happening. Certainly from the Carolinas up through.
How many times
DC.
Are they going to put their reporter who's standing near the waves at the
Shelby
beach,
Scott on 128, holding
pretending
the hat?
He can't really. He's leaning into the wind because he can't even stand up straight. How many times you need to see that? We know what happens in a hurricane. It blows. There's rain. Bad things happen. So what better way to get your mind off bad things than watch the Patriots?
He says lots of rain and wind so far, but nothing too bad yet. No devastation in Dumfries, Virginia. Not sure how to pronounce that, but Andy would probably butcher it anyway.
How do you spell it?
D-U-M fries.
F-R-I-E-S?
Yeah.
Dumb fries.
Would it be fries or freeze?
Not freeze. Freeze would be E-Y. Like Humphreys. I don't see Humphreys.
There are Humphreys.
Stan
Humphreys.
Stan Humphreys. How did he spell it?
I-E-S.
Oh.
Next. Oh, man. Jordan in London.
Hunker down, Dan. Be safe.
Very quick game to test Andy's love for
in
Price.
Jordan? London in Jordan?
No, Jordan in London.
Oh.
Did I say London in Jordan?
Don't shake your bleeping head at me.
Listen, this is part of the show. Don't shake your head at me.
No, Andy screwed up.
Okay.
You said it correctly.
So it's Jordan in London.
He's all jacked up today.
I'm sorry. I like my job. I like to bring energy to the PPGS. Maybe if you brought some energy behind the glass, we would have better ins and outs.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I made your Irene thing in like 2 seconds.
I'm talking about when Paul said we're going to go to a break and you weren't ready.
Yeah, I did kind of.
I was doing stuff for you.
But I did kind of preface.
Read an email. Wait, save it for PFW in Progress. We'll rip him on that time.
He wants to know who. A very quick game to test your love of Price. Are you ready? Who has a better season, Price or Brady?
Price.
The price is wrong.
Wait.
Bitch.
Based on improvement. No. That's how you judge it, is you base it on improvement.
Who has a better season?
Based on improvement. Who makes greater strides?
What, are you getting mad?
No, but I'm just saying.
Just so
what
you know,
are the chances Brady
Andy
goes
just,
36
Andy just
and
stood
four.
Up off his chair, pushed it out.
Only one leg.
And he's looking at me as if he wants to come across the table.
But he's going to go from being inactive for 15 straight weeks and catching 3 passes?
So
as a rookie,
so if he,
to
so,
catching 45 plus passes and 8 touchdowns.
And that will be a better season than Brady.
Yes.
Because Brady will just
what
do what he always does.
Brady has 36 and 4 again.
Well, if he does, then Price, that's just
no,
what he always does.
He needs 40 and 2.
Okay.
If he wants to be better, have better improvement this year, Brady, he's got to go 40-2.
Leave my Tom alone.
No, you would have traded him for Stafford.
That's not what I said.
You're right. I'm standing now. I got a little energy.
A serious football question. With Spikes and Fletcher missing time, would you prefer Mayo to start at middle linebacker and Guyton on the outside, or the other way around?
The other way around. I want Mayo where I think and hope he's going to play. That is at the weak side position where
Jordan
he can
loves
make plays.
The PPGS, by the way.
And by the way, any day you want or need to, you can put Gerard Mayo in the middle and he'll be fine. He doesn't need reps there. He needs reps on the outside where it's different than what he's been doing and where he can be a dominant playmaking force.
Bill, we get your emails. You don't need to send 17 of them. You're having problems hearing the show. We're trying our best. It seems like most people are following along, but you don't need to drop F-bombs on every single email and tell us how much we're idiots. We get it. We're idiots.
Is it directed at us or Kevin?
Us in general.
Oh. Well, screw you, Bill.
The PPGS.
If it were directed at Kevin, I'd
and
be
by the way,
that was the guy that wrote like 17 emails last week.
And by the way, we can direct it at Kevin, but someone else does. I got Kevin's back.
Can we unfollow Bill? I know that's kind of a Twitter term, but can we in general just unfollow Bill?
F. Kirsch, by the way, reporting that Price and Edelman have been out there, so we expect to see them. Let's see. Fred also comments, I don't like it that Ocho doesn't come right out with the other receivers.
I don't like it either.
Well, you're not worried, though.
Well,
another
whoa,
I
whoa,
hate
whoa,
you
whoa,
from
whoa,
Bill. Thanks.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What is Fred watching? Now I need Fred to talk about it. Because does he know that the other guys come out early sometimes because they're specialists? Edelman, Tate.
I don't know.
Welker, Branch.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fred, narrow it down. He's the only guy that doesn't return punts or kicks. My guess is those other guys came out early because they're returners.
Well,
he's misleading fans to say Ocho's got a prima donna attitude and he doesn't come out.
You may be right.
He's not a return man.
He comes out later. You may be right. If they came out with the returners, that might be right. Maybe we can get. Well, I doubt it because we're going to check in with Eric at 7:30. So we probably won't get to the bottom of that. But listen, we got a half hour to go here. Before we break, though, I do want to make the following public service announcement, Andy Hart. The MBTA here in the Boston area has canceled all forms of service on all transportation tomorrow. So there will be no MBTA service on Sunday, which means we're stuck here at the stadium? No.
Stay home.
A lot of people have sort of been downgrading like the severity of this storm. Just because it's not, going to be this Category 4 hurricane,
right,
it's still going to be a significant storm.
They're
on
still
the East
talking,
Coast.
Especially along the coast, where you could get 85, 90 mile an hour winds. Going to be a huge storm surge. So don't be Joe Cool and dust off the surfboard and say I'm going surfing or kayaking.
We're
going
to get 10 inches of rain too.
It's going to rain. There's going to be flooding. There's no better day. It's Sunday.
Perfect
stay
day
home.
To stay home.
Get the coffee pot going. Get a little ice out of the freezer. Put the beer on for late Sunday afternoon and spend the whole day with your kids, your wife, your whatever you want to do.
And here's one other thing you can do.
Don't tape your windows. It's a waste.
Listen to the downloaded podcast of the Patriots pregame social.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the path we're driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
So, Carly.
Yeah?
Just a heads up. This Angus burger right here, I love it. So, I tend to stop talking when I eat it. I don't want you to think I'm ignoring you. It's just I'll be checked out for 3 or 4 minutes.
Wait, what? I kind of stop listening when I eat a Big Mac.
I love you.
The classic, one-of-a-kind taste of the Big Mac sandwich and the big, bold taste of the Angus Third Pounder. So much flavor, you'll want to take your time with them. McDonald's, the simple joy of burgers. At participating McDonald's.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Back for the fourth and final act of the Patriots pregame social as we're heading into the Detroit Lions game. Andy Hart and Paul Perilla with you from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Andy.
We're still mocking the hurricane, I hear.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if I have a house to go home to tonight, it'll be a miracle. But you said as we were in our last break, you were sort of perusing the Twitter feed.
Yes.
And you thought something came over that was sort of interesting.
And we often deserve to be called out because I think we talk out of both sides of our mouths sometimes. We forget what we said. We move along to different topics. But
only with my wife.
What?
I forget what I say sometimes with my wife.
Polka C8 or Polk AC8 says to us, do you guys remember last year at this time when you predicted the Pats to dominate? They didn't. Stop jinxing us. I don't remember predicting them to dominate last year. I believe the record most associated with me was 6-10.
I thought they were going to finish 10-6 or 11-5 last year. I think I picked 10-6.
And I think legitimately I was saying 9 or 10 wins.
Yeah. And now,
and
listen,
I believe we talked.
We were wrong. They went 14-2.
At ifs, it had too many questions. There were too many young players that were going to have to play. All the young players were good. We didn't say they were going to dominate last year.
No.
But you know what? I'm saying it this year, and if that's a jinx, I'm sorry, because I also predicted they would go 16-0 when they went 16-0. So now I'm saying they are going to go 13-3. I think the schedule's tough.
No, you got to go with the Fred. 15-1, tough schedule. In keeping with the Twitter feed, our good friend blogger Mike Reese reporting that Barty Farnham working out with the defensive backs, not the wide receivers.
Well, that's what he always does.
I'm just saying. So our good friend blogger Mike.
Mike, I appreciate the information. Thank you.
F. Kirsch, by the way, reporting that Ocho.
Oh, F. Kirsch, all right.
you finally got it, huh? Ocho has finally come out, but he also says he has not seen Ridley or Vereen as far as he can see. Now, Ridley didn't practice all week, right?
Right.
Vereen, I thought there was a chance we might see him, but evidently Fred says no so far. So that's disappointing. I was hoping to see him in Dowling tonight.
Yes.
At least in a cameo. Just to kind of see them out on the field.
What is Vereen? We're going to see him in a fourth preseason game potentially, which, by the way, we should mention, just a side note, looking forward to Thursday at Gillette Stadium. New York Giants are scheduled to come to town. The New York Giants preseason game has been postponed until Monday, meaning the Giants will have to play the Jets on Monday and then Tuesday have a day off, I would think, from physical. Wednesday prep for the Patriots, and Thursday be here to play the Patriots. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw that game get changed. I'm not saying I've heard anything,
now,
but Kevin, I think there'd be a chance.
Kevin, can you check on this too? I'm not positive, but I think that all of the fourth preseason games are on Thursday,
right,
to give the entire league the same amount of rest.
Right.
Now, I wonder if they would...
Is this the only game that's affected, though?
I don't know. I don't know. So that might be something. Just check on that, Kevin. And while you do, I'm going to hit back to the Facebook page. There's a couple of comments on Facebook. One is from AJ. Says, it seems like Pepper Johnson has been a position coach for us forever. Any chance he gets promoted to the defensive coordinator spot soon? I also want to thank AJ because he provided some photos that we also have up on the Facebook page as well.
No, there is no chance, in my opinion. I believe that Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator in waiting. If you watch any practice, he's the one with the headset. He is listed as the safeties coach, but still spends a lot of time working with a lot of various areas of the defense and as a collective unit. My expectation is next February sometime or early March, whenever we get those releases from the team, you will get a release with some coaching changes. The first one will be Matt Patricia has been elevated to defensive coordinator. The second will be George Godsey has been elevated to quarterback's coach, and Bill O'Brien would solely be the offensive coordinator. But that's really projecting quite a ways down the road.
Sure.
We do have a game on Friday, Paul. There's one game after that wave of games on Thursday. It's the Raiders and Seahawks on Friday night.
Okay, so obviously,
that game could get moved on
obviously it's precedent. It wouldn't be the only game not played on Thursday. I think Andy might have a point there. I think that you could see that game get moved. Now, the argument they might make is that a lot of the different guys would play in
right.
that fourth game. The guys that you see tonight, for the most part, you're probably not going to see a whole lot in that fourth game.
But does the league really want to acknowledge that?
Yeah, I know. Listen, it's not an easy situation.
Okay, Paul. Blogger Mike, our friend Mike Reese, via Twitter. Tom Brady dialing it back in warm-ups makes you wonder if his playing time might be limited a bit tonight. We have always been under the expectation he would play the first half,
at least
maybe
the first
into the
half.
Third quarter.
What does dialing it back mean, I wonder?
I don't know. You only have 140 characters.
No, I know. I'm not.
Not
that,
very,
that wasn't necessarily a question to you or questioning Mike. I'm just wondering what exactly that means in pregame warm-ups. Is he not taking the first rep? You know, the first team reps? Or is he not throwing as much as he normally? I mean, I wonder exactly what dialing it back means.
Well, we'll ask Eric maybe when he gets on the line, but I do
but
also
want to know.
Oh, wow. I'll update you from Corey underscore Rockfairy underscore. Says, the coffee is done. My number 12 jersey is on. The final act of PPGS, and then go Pats!
Nice. Nice. Zach in, from Syracuse chiming in. I'm afraid that Rasai Dowling might be the Brandon Tate of the secondary, what with him being taken later in the draft than where he thought he would have been taken due to injury. Your thoughts?
I think it's a great point. I have my concerns about that as well, certainly for this year. I really have concerns that he's going to be able to compete and be a contributing member of that secondary. And then the other concerns I have is the whole big body. I'm always hesitant to buy into the big corners, because so very few really big corners end up being good. And he is a bigger corner that hasn't played safety, even though people kind of assume he could. I just have fears of, and I said it in one of the blog entries, the Tabucky Jones fear, that he's not going to be a corner, and will he be a good safety and all that. But the biggest fear right now is,
health.
Is he snake-bitten? Is he just an injury guy that
I agree.
Can't stay healthy?
Your best friend, Andy, chiming in, Brooklyn Matt, says it's nice to hear us on...
I like him better than this Bill fella who told me to go F myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't really read that on the air, by the way.
Oh. He still told me to go F myself.
He's very unhappy. He's very unhappy with the whole operation here. But anyway, Matt is happy to hear us on an early Saturday evening. Thanks for being there. I guess the game won't be on CBS in the Northeast Corridor due to the hurricane coverage. So he's going to watch online. Looks like
this
a lot
national
of,
game is available in fewer
is,
households than any
little,
game ever.
This is a little different. The Eastern Seaboard here, Andy, is going to be wall-to-wall.
What would you rather watch? You know you're in a hurricane.
I know what I would rather
watch.
Would
you rather watch hurricane news, or would you rather watch the Patriots?
Plus, I can watch both.
Right.
All the other channels can switch off to the hurricane coverage.
These TV people always have to keep up with the Joneses. They always have to do what the other networks are doing. Try swimming upstream.
It's like the advertising I always argue with you about. If you have this major company that the brand recognition is not an issue, say, I don't know, Coke, Pepsi.
I would have gone Pepsi there since they're a major sponsor.
Anyway.
Subway.
Hey, Andy, seeing that it's the pregame social and all, humor me and tell me what you're wearing so I can get a better mental picture.
Well, I have my worn-out New Balance running sneakers. I have some tan cargo shorts and what I would call just a regular structure shirt.
Structure shirt, which, by the way, went out of business in like 1995.
I still have plenty of structure stuff because it's some of the greatest stuff ever made. This new thing they do, Express for Men. Brooklyn Matt probably wears Express for Men because here, let me clue you into a little something. It's not really for men. It's for metros.
Hey, Mike in Cambridge is chiming in, and he wants to know what we think of Rob Ninkovich and his ability to hold up as an outside linebacker in the 4-3. He was solid at setting the edge last year, but seems too slow to play in space as an every down player at that Sam position. I don't think that's out of the realm. I think it's going to be a little bit more difficult for him.
Oh, in terms of being a strong side outside linebacker in the 4-3, I don't think he has the athleticism. I don't think he's very well suited for that. I think you're going to see, ideally, he would go into a sub role.
He also says Eric is a bitch. And
speaking of bitches.
He loves the show, which brings us to...
the bitch time.
Our favorite bitch. Eric Scalavino, live from Ford Field in Detroit, one of my favorite venues, by the way. That's one part of traveling I'm going to miss. There are certain stadiums that I like. This is one of them.
You got the Mo Better Blues?
Eric.
From Motown, get it, Mo.
Hey, boys, how's the weather back there?
Hey, Mo!
I don't know.
You're in Motown, right?
You know where we are.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard you, Andy. Don't worry.
The weather is moist, humid, not yet frightful, but it is going to be frightful. I'm glad I'm not flying back into the New England region later this evening.
Eric, before you get started here, I do want to pass along another nugget from F. Kirsch. He says, okay. James Sanders is out there on the field. He has the patch on one side that says MHK. On the other side, it says AH.
That's funny.
Eric, how goes it?
It's not bad. I'm scanning the field now. We've got the entire team out here, going through warm-ups, and I'm looking for guys, notable guys who you, might be wondering, if they're gonna play or not. I do not see Albert Haynesworth.
Boo.
I don't see either of the two drafted rookie running backs.
Boo.
Vereen or Ridley. I don't see Rozai Dowling.
Boo.
So it looks like, but I do see Matt Light, so I'm hopeful that we're going to see some action from him tonight.
Okay, I got a big question for you. A few moments ago, our good friend Mike Reese tweeted that Tom Brady appeared to be dialing it back a little bit in pregame warmups, and he pondered if maybe that means he's not going to see quite as much playing time tonight as I think we all expect. Did you watch Brady warm up, and did you pick up anything of that nature?
Well, I'm watching him warm up right now, actually, and he's doing a lot of handing off at the moment, not a whole lot of throwing, but I saw him go through sort of his what seemed to me like his regular throwing progression in pregame warmups. Maybe he was dialing back a little bit on the velocity, perhaps. Maybe not going as strongly there, but I don't see anything different from Tom Brady so far that we normally would see in a pregame warmup from him.
Okay, so you fully expect, and I fully expected coming into tonight, that we would see him potentially into the third quarter, certainly the first two quarters, but we know Bill likes to sometimes do the go into the locker room, cool down, and bring the starters back out for another series. So nothing leads you to believe that there's any different plan?
No, nothing. Not from what I've seen out here on the field, no, not at all. And I agree with you. I would certainly expect to see him at least past the second half, maybe not all the way into the fourth quarter, but at least into the third.
Okay.
Certainly. And I think Thursday against the Giants, we'll see more of Poyer and Mallett battling it out for the duration.
Another question. Obviously, a lot of fans of the PPGS are also James Sanders fans. They're wondering, did you watch defensive warm-ups and which safeties were first in the lineup with Patrick Chung? Was it Jimmy?
Well, I did see Jimmy out there in the I saw him in the positional drills, and he was very upfront and early in those. Didn't really pay too much attention to where he was during the team drills, but I would still expect to see your regular at least starting lineup of Merriweather and Chung
in the big
but with Sanders rotating in quite a bit early on, because we haven't seen a whole lot of him in camp. Obviously, he hasn't been practicing too much, and when we did get when we touched down last night, I believe he tweeted out that he was excited, amped, ready to go, and ready to get some playing time tonight. So I would expect if he doesn't start to see him be subbed in pretty early on in the first quarter.
Okay, Eric, two more questions for you. First of all, who are you most excited to see hit the field tonight?
I'd probably say Matt Light because
good answer.
Jimmy would probably be a close second, but I know enough about what I get from Jimmy. I don't think we need to see any more from him.
Well said.
But Matt Light coming off the injury, and the questions with him and Nate Solder, I'm interested to see when he comes in, how long he lasts, and if we possibly see the two of them on the field at the same time.
That would be very interesting, and I'm glad you brought that up because that is something that I think we need to keep in mind, is if Matt Light is healthy and ready to go at left tackle, mm-hmm. where does that leave Nate Solder? And now, the
final... I think
a
guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
And now our final question is, are you guys going to make it back tonight? Are you hearing any hubbub? Is there any issue potentially with the weather, or are you still a full go for Air Patriot 1 to land in New England sometime early tomorrow morning?
Well, that's the one question that's been sort of looming over our heads, pardon the pun, like a dark cloud since we got here. But from what I'm hearing from our people who are in charge of that sort of thing here, we are planning all systems go with maybe some slight alteration as to where exactly we touch down and how we get back. But the plan still as of right now is for us to fly back right after the game, try to maybe hustle it to the airport and try to beat Irene back to New England.
Huh. So you're going to try to beat a hurricane.
We're going to try.
That sounds like a good plan.
Good luck with that.
We'll be here in our bunker in Foxborough.
Okay.
Our subway
bunker. Fly away. I know we do a good job of holding that logo down in the locker room. Make sure you try to keep the entire place held down.
Well, I got Paul. He carries a lot of weight.
All right.
All right. See you, Eric. Enjoy the game.
Nonsense. Stay safe, Eric, and thanks for chiming in, my friend.
Okay, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Eric Scalavino from the press box at Ford Field.
He brought up a great point, and I have to say,
I'm going to be honest with you.
Stunned.
I sort of blanked out at one point.
He posed the possibility: could we see with Matt Light back? Could we see Matt Light and Nate Solder on the field together at any point? Be interesting.
Yeah, I think there
if
is a
guard
chance,
is an option.
I do think there's a chance that you might see Solder get some chances inside, just to see, as Belichick said, if he can be a viable backup option on game day, because you're only going to dress a certain amount of guys on game day. Seven linemen you
sure.
can get away with, active linemen. You need guys to double up, like Bill always says. And if he can play guard, then maybe you don't need a guy, whoever they end up at, Ornberger. You're going to need somebody to be able to play center in case Copen goes
right.
down. And Solder, I would think, they wouldn't ask to do something like that.
I just also got a mental image of Nate Solder going up against Ndamukong Suh. That ain't pretty.
Yeah.
Talk about a rude awakening if you were just, Nate, go in there and see if you can hang at guard. Take a couple reps. And Sue could kill you. He could bend you over backwards.
Well, listen, these things happen.
Yeah, it's not good when they happen on national TV, although luckily no one's watching this
game.
But you got to
learn.
My
point is, you got to learn. You got to, at some point, people got to get out there and play. You got to play against the best. You're going to have to learn against the best. And
yeah, it might be nice to get some reps against someone other than the best.
No, I'm saying for Nate Solder, it would be good to go out there and play against someone who's going to be as difficult a challenge as you can get. Now,
oh, yeah, good.
Good. To your
with
argument,
the franchise standing right behind him.
Exactly.
Real good. Real good.
Exactly. It might not be the ideal situation to have Tom out there at the same time.
You'll know how Bill feels is if the offensive line is still in and Hoyer comes in.
We'll have Tom on one side and Matthew on the other. You don't want them getting hurt.
Yeah, you got two of the best quarterbacks in football, and guys you've posed are worthy of a trade, a swap.
Obviously,
Twitter I need to read.
Okay, you
a very
that.
Interesting one from C Freights 20. Is Ocho playing for a roster spot tonight? I don't think so.
I just listen. It's about $4.75 million that you can take a blowtorch to if he gets cut. It's just throwing it down the toilet, and I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. I think there's zero chance he gets cut.
And I know you and I disagree on our expectations of what Ocho Cinco is going to do. You think he's going to be fine? I have some concerns, but my concerns don't run deep enough that I don't even think he's going to be on the team. And if that happens, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money to just throw away. I'd be very, very surprised.
Another Twitter from our friend Corey Rockferry. In Italy, there is no hurricane. It's an American thing, XD. I don't know what that means. So the choice for me is simple. PPGS, chow. Love it. Love the chow.
Let's see. Steve in Winchester, I'm reading this because he's taking having some fun with both of us on this one. Given the change in the defensive front, who do you guys think will have more of an impact this season? Rodney Mayo or Kevin Carter?
I don't call him Rodney Mayo. I do call him Kevin Carter.
No, the Rodney Mayo is Fred.
I think Mayo.
Kraft and Mayo go together.
I think Carter's going to be very good. I think he could be double-digit sacks. And I think Mayo is, people are going to think he's all over the field. How is he everywhere? How is he in the backfield? How is he dropping? My one concern is still, he has shown the ability to cover laterally, out of the backfield laterally. I don't know if he has the ability to turn and run with guys, and he's occasionally going to have to turn and run with guys.
Blogger Mike Reese chiming in with a post about Gostkowski, saying he's a little shaky in warmups.
Yes, I saw that.
Some shanks and coming up short on his long distance one from 55 yards, but shanks left and right.
Was it into the wind?
Oh,
a lot of wind jokes on this show tonight. One person who's not enjoying them
is wind bag.
Pollo Onomino, who doesn't like us talking about the hurricane. He's in Mexico, so it's not affecting him. So that's one of those. Isn't that like the ugly American view? Is when it's not affecting me, I don't care.
That took a turn there. I thought he was not happy because we were sort of making light of it.
No. Boring topic of the hurricane.
Well, sorry, but that's
I mean, could
sort
you be any more
deal.
Sheltered and close-minded? The major power, continent is being hit from top to bottom.
I really, those people in New Orleans that dealt with Hurricane Katrina, I mean, really, how much are they, it didn't affect me.
Right.
I mean, how much do I have to hear about
and
that?
And I have to hear about all the drug wars going on in Mexico every day
how
on the news when they show up to parties and slaughter 45 people.
All right. We're trying to be kinder and gentler, so I'm going to move on to our next
sorry,
PPGS.
Sorry,
from Blake in Southern California. He's got to say, this has been great with no Fred blabbing and talking with his mouth full and of food, although Paul does that a lot too. Regardless, moving on.
Not tonight. On, he's burped a couple times, but that's it.
But not, I haven't had anything to eat. I
You're
love
this thing away over there.
I know. Believe me. I love the pregame social. First experience with it today due to working these past two Thursdays, and I love it. Well, I'm glad to have you, Blake.
Pencil us in for Mondays and Sundays throughout the year.
First experience with it today. Hope you guys will be safe in the wake of the hurricane rolling through. I'm just dealing with 105 degree temperatures here, so I should be counting my blessings. Got to crack open some more of the brewskis.
That's right.
And watch the Patriots plow. Keep up the great work and go,
Pat!
James Sanders.
Oh. Sanders.
But you did what I wanted you to, though. Charlie in London, England, via Marlboro, Mass.
Hey, Chuck.
I love the pregame social. It makes me realize how much I miss going to Foxborough. My question is, do you think the Patriots will come back to the UK? I do.
Yes.
Andy, this is a question. This
Paul
is
and
a-
Andy won't be with them, but they'll
right.
be back.
This is an email that we got a while ago, and it doesn't have anything to do with the game, at least initially. But I find it amazing how often we talk about something and we get somebody who knows to write in. We were talking about the hurricane, and you talked about the report that you saw about taping windows.
Yes.
Well, Stan saw the same report, and he's in Holyoke, and he says, I can tell you that it depends entirely on how much tape you use. I was an EMT.
Well, if you tape the whole damn window with duct tape, obviously it's not going to shatter.
I was an EMT firefighter for years. When we did practice extrication from a car, we would tape the window. With a good amount of tape, it does help. It will not save your window, but it will significantly decrease the amount of free glass on the ground or your living room floor. The whole idea is not to have broken glass all over when you have no power and are wandering around in the dark.
And are running like a screaming little bitch because something just flew through your window.
So go ahead and tape your windows, but not in an X. Instead, make it like a heavy star.
Like an asterisk?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. So you get more coverage.
Oh, interesting. Or also, you could tape the whole window with duct tape.
He heard the same stuff that we heard, that Ellis and Haynesworth were not likely to play. He just says to stay safe. Feel free to contact me if you need any more storm safety advice. Hey, thanks, Stan from Holyoke.
We have the updated list from our friend Mike Reese, formerly of Patriots Football Weekly. Now he's moved on to a slightly cushier gig with the worldwide leader ESPN. Razai Dowling, Stephen Ridley, Lee Bodden, Shane Vereen, Josh Barrett, Kevin Falk, Malcolm Williams, Eric Catani, Matt Catula, Dane Fletcher. Matt Catula? Dane Fletcher, Brandon Spikes, Marcus Cannon, Ryan Wendell, Brandon Dedrick, Albert Haynesworth, Sean Ellis, Jermaine Cunningham, Ron Brace, Mike Wright, not expected to play tonight. The Catula one is interesting. That means we're going to see Rob Ninkovich long snapping.
Yeah, there's a box for us for our post-game read and react.
Worth his weight in gold, according to special teams coach Scott O'Brien, because normally you'd be scrambling, but now you got a solid long snapper.
Yeah, I'm wondering what that means, Katula. I mean, is he? There was a report he missed some practice time early in training.
Significant.
There was a report that he restructured his contract.
Oh.
And that was why he wasn't practicing.
Oh.
Maybe he was dealing with a shoulder injury, or which some people had reported. You know, I don't know one way or the other. I'm not sure if either one of those now both of those things independently could be true. He may have restructured his contract, and that was why he had to wait to the start of the new league year. And he also could be dealing with a shoulder problem. But either way, him not being dressed tonight would lead you to believe that it's more the physical.
In the dress rehearsal game, the important one.
Yeah,
and
I know you're making fun of me. But
after
that's okay.
A bad snap in the first preseason game.
Yeah,
my question is,
really bad snap.
Are we going down the road of at some point either to open the year or mid-year, is there going to be a discussion here at long snapper? And could number three have missed his 55-yard field goals at Ford Field because the snaps were bad and the timing was off? I'm just saying, right? Something
fine.
To pose.
You look fine yesterday, Cadova, Katula. You look fine.
The other issue is, if they knew he wasn't going to play, is he on the trip?
I don't know.
I think he is.
I'm pretty sure he's on the trip. You told me he was leaving at 3 yesterday. So.
We got a source in Foxborough.
We got a source.
You got a burrito with me.
We got a source.
He also told me, here's a nugget.
So could he have tweaked something?
Here's a nugget. He told me that Kenny Chesney came out to practice, or the walkthrough, before they left the other day on Friday, and that like his big thing was he wanted to catch a pass from Tom Brady, and Brady hit him in the chest 3 times, and he dropped 3 of them.
I got to tell you, Kenny Chesney is going down the road of Snoop Dogg.
I thought that was an interesting little nugget.
No, it is a good nugget, but he's a whore. He's a music whore. He was with the Saints a couple years ago in camp and just wanted to catch a punt. So he caught a punt. Now he just wants to catch a pass from Brady.
Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Do none of these musicians actually have like teams that they really root for? Because I'd think more of Kenny Chesney if he showed up in a Saints hat and said, I'm a Saints fan, and I'd love to catch a pass from Drew Brees.
Our boy Matt back here mentioned that. He was at the concert last night, and during his Boys of Fall song that Andy likes so much, it was all Patriot shots.
He's a fraud. He does that in every city.
He plays to the crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, go pull Kai Rules.
Wait a minute. You're telling me that...
His dream should not be to catch a pass from Tom
Brady. You're telling me that rock stars and musicians in general, when they go on tour, they cater to the town that they're in?
Yes, I know that.
Wow. I would have never figured
that. But do they all have to go, my dream would be to catch a pass from Tom Brady, when I know last week your dream was to hang out with Drew Brees?
All right. That's enough, okay?
But a good nugget.
And you like him, too.
I like Kenny Chesney. And a good nugget, Kenny Chesney was on the practice field with the Patriots for their walkthrough the other day.
And I want to thank Brian and Anthony.
If that's wrong, that was from Kenny.
They also sent some photos in. I hope that we can get those up on Facebook, if not already.
They're up,
so that's great. So a lot of photos sent on the Facebook page, which is a nice get the momentum building on the Patriots pregame social. Get over to fantab.com. Check out the Patriots confidence level of the Patriots fans. What do you got, Andy?
Quick breaking news, according to Jonathan Kraft on the pregame show 98.5. The Thursday game is expected to remain on Thursday. Giants-Patriots, Gillette Stadium, likely
breaks,
to remain on Thursday.
We break it.
Well, that's great. And we have...
He's got connections, too. He's usually
good. That's a great nugget to end our show with, and that's episode number 3.
So we'll be here next Thursday.
Of the pregame social. But again, as is always the case, it does not end with the pregame social. Get right on Patriots.com, click over to the Kirschwords in-game blog, and check out Fred Kirsch's witty banter with the Patriots fans. As always, that's the best way to get you through the kickoff and into the game. So as soon as something bad happens, you guys can all jump off a cliff with Fred Kirsch, and he'll be there to save you. Again, Kirschwords on Patriots.com. Best way to watch the Patriots game. Andy Hart, any last words?
Go Price, go Sanders. Woohoo!
All right. Well, going to be an interesting one tonight in Ford Field. Hopefully, the Hurricane treats us well.
This has been the Patriots pregame social, live from the Patriots Facebook page. Now it's game time as the Pats take on the Detroit Lions.
Brady in the shotgun.
Fires to the right and is caught at the 10, the 5 into the end zone. Touchdown to Wes Welker.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game.
Brady hands it off the middle up to Green Ellis. Fires it down the field. Driving. In. Touchdown. What a great run by Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Be sure to tune in to Patriots.com radio all week long for recaps and reaction to this week's game. We look forward to hearing from you on next week's edition of the Patriots Pregame Social.
So, any progress since last week?
I'm afraid not, Doctor.
Oh, come on! Where's the flag?
See? Like I'm not even here.
Nancy, care to respond?
I'm sorry, the paths are driving. What?
Bob said he feels ignored.
Run it! Run the ball!
Ever since she got NFL Mobile from Verizon, I'm practically invisible.
Invisible. Interesting. Let's focus on that.
I'm right here, Nancy.
He's open! Throw it! Throw it! Touchdown, Patriots! Yes!
Nancy, put the vase down. Do not spike the vase.
Woo! That's what I'm talking about!
That's the sixth one this week.
Up top, Doc!
Patriots fans? Yeah, they're obsessed. And nothing feeds their need for Pats football like NFL Mobile. Never miss another touchdown on Sunday afternoon with NFL Red Zone. Text NFL to 89115 and let the football insanity begin. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Message and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere.
What are you drinking?
I'm a college student, and I pretty much survive on Dunkin' Iced Coffee. During finals, it's the one thing that gets me through. When I'm cramming hundreds of pages of history all into one night, Dunkin' Iced Coffee keeps me going. So I can remember everything the next day when I take the exam. Then 5 minutes later, I forget it all.
When you need a boost, pick up a delicious Dunkin' Iced Coffee. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee. Hey, what are you drinking?
Dunkin' Iced Coffee. Hazelnut with a little milk. As a teacher, I never know when something might go wrong. But I know my coffee will always be right. Just perfect.
Miss Johnson, Joey won't share.
Gotta go.
Today's lesson, America's favorite iced coffee is made any way you love it. Hurry in and grab one today. America runs on Dunkin' Coffee.
Hurry into Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly brewed iced coffee. Always made exactly the way you want it. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.